Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Wedding, and so we're going to have a great show tonight. We have five guests lined up. We have Chuck Baldwin coming on from 7:30, who's one of my all-time favorite people on the planet. We also have Daniel Lisk, dark journalist, coming on from 7:30 to 8. Sheila Zielinski coming on from 8 to 8:30. Paul Williams from Operation Gladio, who wrote the book, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. He's coming on from 8:30 to 9. He's also a brilliant, brilliant man. And then Dane Whittington's coming on from 9 to 9:30. And he'll be talking about what's going on with geoengineering around the planet and what's going on with these horrible fires we're having out west. Sheila will be covering stuff with the NFL and a bunch of other topics. So I just want to get started with you guys right now tonight. So you guys stay tuned. At the end of the last 30 minutes, I'm going to give myself a summary of all of the guests we've had tonight. And we're going to take some notes and we're going to kind of cover it all in detail and kind of give you guys the cliff notes at the end. So, Pastor Baldwin, are you on with me?
I am, Ted. Good to see you.
Oh, thank you, Chuck, so much for coming on. I'm going to start off. You've got two or three really incredible newsletters that you've put out, and we'll give out your website here. Give your website out right now, Chuck. I want to make sure I don't cut you off short on this. What's your website? How can people hear you and listen to you and read your columns?
Yeah, thank you, Ted. It's Chuck Baldwin Live, all one word, ChuckBaldwinLive.com.
ChuckBaldwinLive.com. Now, you made a comment in one of the emails that you sent out, one of the letters you made, and I want to start with this because I know this will crank up our audience and crank you up. You said, quote, "The answer is not gun control. The answer is for America's pastors to stop play-acting in the pulpit, stop worrying about offending people, stop following these prosperity preachers, and start being the courageous prophets to the nation they should have been all along." Now, I'm 100% in agreement with that entire statement. Now, I sent this to a couple of my pastor friends, and I had mixed response with it. I'm going to give you some of the responses that we had. Someone said, don't attack prosperity because you're offended at some of these preachers. And my response was, well, I like Chuck Baldwin. He has a lot of testosterone. I said, but he's a patriot, and he's a gun guy, and so I like the column and what he said. And then he went on to say a few other things about the column. And then I said, look, even if I agree with Chuck on 90 or 95% of the items that we talk about in the columns, he's still a patriot and he still gets an A in my book. And I said, prosperity preaching is great as long as it's balanced with action. Most prosperity preachers don't balance anything. Chuck is right about that. But they're too afraid to offend their crowds and lose crowds as far as not having as big an offering. And I started talking about how you have to balance all of this stuff with both verbal and tangible. And then we bring up a pastor who's a nationally known TV evangelist who has a huge footprint. And I said to him, I said, the problem is he refuses to cover controversial issues and he cops out by saying it's not his calling. I said, his message is not balanced. I said, preachers are called to preach, not to compromise. And I said, and he says, but he's doing a good work. And I said, well, I agree he's getting people saved. And I said, I agree with that, but I disagree with his compromise. I've never heard him discuss sin, such as gays, abortion, promiscuity, government problems, etc., not once. And I said, I disagree with you on this topic. I said, he needs to balance out his sermons. If he wants to be a motivational speaker, that's one thing, but he doesn't need to be calling himself a pastor if he's not going to preach the Word of God. What do you think about my response, and what do you think about other people and how they feel about that particular column that you wrote, Chuck?
Well, Ted, I agree with what you said. It's a shame that pastors from all denominations, regardless of what side of the denominational aisle they're coming from, are virtually silent in the pulpit relative to the issues that are affecting our country. Whether they're prosperity preachers or not, it really doesn't matter what they call themselves. The bottom line is, there's over 300,000 evangelical churches in this country. That means there's over 300,000 pastors, not to mention the hundreds of thousands of evangelists and TV preachers and radio preachers and all other kinds of men of God that are promoting the Word of God. Stop and think about the combined audience of that number of preachers in this country. I mean, just think about it. There is no other medium in the country that can come close to the captive audience that they have every Sunday or whenever they meet in the churches and the various religious institutions of our country. And the vast majority of them are saying nothing about the salient issues affecting the liberties, the constitutional government, and the future of our country. They refuse to deal with these issues for several reasons, in my view, and I've been a pastor for over 40 years, and I pastored a 501c3 church for 35 of those years, so I know what that's all about. And I think that the fear of the Internal Revenue Service and the loss of their tax exemption via the 501c3 nonprofit status, and the fear of losing contributors and donors, tithers, to their ministry is what's driving their silence. And I think it's time that preachers be like God intended them to be. You go to the preachers of both Testaments, old and new, and what do you find? You find courageous men that challenged the systems of government and religion. Jesus himself constantly challenged the religious system, which was controlled by the Pharisees and Sadducees, etc., as well as the governmental structure of his day. You cannot possibly understand the gospel narratives in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John without understanding this contest between Jesus and the Pharisees. And, of course, I've written on that, and I have DVDs on that. But the point is, throughout the Bible, men of God were courageous, bold champions of truth. They feared not men. They feared not government. They feared not power. They feared not poverty. They spoke the truth to power. They spoke the truth to people. And they changed the world in which they lived. Today, we have a cowardly pulpit that is unwilling to address the issues. Ted, one more thought. If the preachers of colonial America in 1775 and 76, of all denominations, acted as the preachers of America do today, we would still be a crown colony of Great Britain. There'd have been no Bunker Hill. There'd have been no Declaration. There'd have been no give me liberty or give me death. There'd have been April 19, 1775, and the shot fired heard around the world. There'd have been none of that if the colonial pastors did not have the courage to give their people the truth relative to the Bible, to natural law, to the principles of liberty and tyranny, how to identify it, how to deal with it, etc. The preachers were as much responsible for the inception of this country as were the political patriots of that era.
No, you're absolutely right, Chuck. You know, I told you in that little thing that I read at the beginning of the show there when I was having my little little argument with the other pastor. I said, I give you an A in what you believe. What do you give Donald Trump right now? What kind of grade do you give Donald Trump for what he's done since he took office, Chuck?
Well, I give him about a C minus or a D plus. I'm not impressed with him. He has reneged on just about everything that he said on the campaign trail, and I mean on major issues. And at this point, I don't trust him, and I don't think he is going to follow through with anything he said on the campaign trail. And so I'm very disappointed in Donald Trump.
Well, you know, I had Dave Hodges on my show earlier today, my 3 to 4 o'clock show here on the same network on Global Star. And I asked Dave, I said, how much power does Trump really have? How much does Trump really control? And he goes, well, to be honest with you, Ted, because of the deep state, he doesn't control much. And I thought, wow, so he's more of a figurehead right now. Tell me about the problems that we've had out here trying to get the truth right now with Vegas, Chuck. Tell me your take on that entire situation, and what do you think the truth is?
Boy, I know you're referring to my last two columns, including the one that went out yesterday.
Yes.
And I've delved into this extensively, and I've tried to be as accurate as I could in the two columns that I wrote. You know, the only thing I can say conclusively from a personal point of view at this point is that I am absolutely convinced that the official narrative is a bunch of bunk. I do believe that there were multiple shooters. There's just no way in this world, in my opinion, that Stephen Paddock, this 64-year-old man who was never military trained, and that he could have pulled off what he did, and the amount of carnage and death and so forth, and how he was able to do it in the time that they say that he did it, etc. In my view, there's just nothing about the official story that adds up, and the only thing that makes sense to me is there had to be multiple shooters.
No, that's the only thing that makes any sense. In fact, today I discussed this at length with Dave Hodges. Yesterday I discussed it at length with Robert Steele, and we compared notes on today's show with Dave, and he really feels the deep state is heavily involved in this, and so does Robert Steele, including the CIA, the Mossad, the FBI, the same old, same old, same people who are always involved with everything. So let me ask you a couple questions here. And I had another one of my friends today after I sent out your column and a bunch of other stuff that I sent on what happened in Vegas. I've known this guy for 20 years, and he's on my personal email list. So he gets a dozen or so emails from me every single day and a lot of news sources. And he basically contacted me today and says, please remove me off of your email list. And I said, he's a Christian. And this is the first time that, we've had a guy that I've known for 20 years actually say this to me. And he said that, he doesn't really know what to make of any of this stuff, but he doesn't want to have to try to deal with the alternative theory. So he sent me an article that he thought I should read. And I'm going to do this for him. I'm going to let you go and kind of go through it with me, because it's kind of silly. Because it's real, I can't believe this guy is this liberal, because they don't want to believe the truth. And he goes, number one thing they say is, what is the motivation of the website from which I'm getting the information? Well, I know with your website, Dave Hodges' website, and the other websites like Hagman & Hagman, we have no ulterior motivation. We're not trying to sell anybody on the idea that this was an inside job. We're just reporting the facts back and forth. What do you think about that? Why do you think so many people want to down certain websites and try to say they're fake news, Pastor?
I do, and I think the reason why these neocon conservatives, and especially these pastors and Christians who refuse to deal with reality, I really think it's because they do not want the personal responsibility that would follow if they admit some of the things that we're talking about are true.
That's right.
If they admit to themselves that there's corruption, there's dishonesty, there is illegality going on in our government, that there is we keep calling it deep state now, but that there is a dark side of government that is operating outside of the law, outside the Constitution, outside of the Congress, outside the people, that they are doing at will some of the most heinous acts of violence known to mankind. And it's all done under the cover of government. If people in the pulpit and the pews and these other people that call themselves patriot conservatives, etc., if they admit that these kind of things are even possible, that's a possibility that this could be a black ops or a dark ops, actually government operation. You just mentioned CIA. Ted, in my opinion, there's only three institutions in the world, if there's multiple shooters, there's only three institutions in the world that could do what was done in Las Vegas and get by with it. By that I mean you leave behind a dead body as the patsy to put all the blame on, and the other shooters get away scot-free, no trace and no shadow, and nobody in law enforcement is even looking for them. There's only three institutions that could do that inside the continental United States. Now, when you go outside around the world, the other countries, no, there's more nations that could get away with it. Inside the continental United States, there's only three institutions that could get away with this: America's CIA, British MI6, and Israeli Mossad. Those are the only three institutions that have the resources, the capability, the wherewithal, the personnel, etc., to not only commit the acts, but then to disappear as if they were never there. They're the only ones that could do that. And if you talk to the average pastor, like your friend that says, don't send me more emails after 20 years of friendship, believe me, I've had a lot of people of 25, 30 years of friendship that have totally cut me off. And I believe the reason is, the number one reason, I've analyzed this, I've agonized over this. Why? Why are they so reticent? Why are they so hesitant to deal with these issues? And I really come back to that statement. They don't want the accountability and the responsibility of personally having to do something, having to say something, having to make a difference. Because if they admit these things to themselves, they know in their hearts they do have to say something, they do have a responsibility, and not, they're not willing to man up. That's my opinion, Ted.
That's excellent. I remember years ago, Chuck, I was teaching a health class at Carpenter's Home Church in Lakeland, Florida. And I remember there was a couple that came to two or three of the lectures that we did. We did them for 4 years there. And finally, they quit showing up after two or three. And I saw them in the parking lot one day. And I said, why have you quit coming to the health lectures? And they said, well, the problem is, Ted, to those who know to do something is right, and they don't do it, to them it's a sin. And quite frankly, you're teaching us all of this stuff about health and how we're supposed to eat properly, but we don't want to really do all of that, so we don't want to know about it, because that way it's easier not to do it. And that's exactly what you're saying right now. It's easier not to know the truth and continue to stick your head in the sand and pretend like it's not going to happen. Now, next comment on this website. How did the participants in this giant government conspiracy operate and benefit? Now, that's a good one. I like that one.
How do they benefit? How do they operate? Well, you never know how they operate, because that's what they do. I mean, here's the thing. Our CIA, British MI6, Israeli Mossad, have been conducting these kind of killings and assassinations and bombings and drone attacks and all kinds of mayhem and disaster for decades all over the world. This is everyday activity for these organizations. I mean, the problem is now then it's starting to happen inside the United States. And so now people are acting like, this has never happened before. You know, this is brand new. Why did this happen? If they would get their eyes out of the sand, if they would start reading some of the independent news sources, if they would start reading some of the foreign news sources. I mean, I scour as many foreign news sources as I do U.S. sources every day, because I found that for the most part, the American media, including many of the conservative media, refuse to deal with a lot of things globally and internationally. So you have to go to the foreign media to find out a lot of this stuff, which I know you do and I do and a lot of these others. But, I mean, the average person doesn't do that. But this kind of activity goes on all of the time, all over the world. So the fact that how they're doing it is, that, I mean, this is what they're trained to do. This is what they're skilled at it. They do it all the time. This is nothing new. The why part of it, okay, what's the result of this? What is the result? Who's going to benefit? That's one of the first things you've got to ask yourself. Who's going to benefit? Well, first of all, Michael Chertoff is going to benefit, and all these security peddlers that make billions of dollars promoting their security industry are going to make even more billions after this. Can you imagine what the Vegas casinos are going to look like 6 weeks from now, 2 months from now? I mean, it's going to be like boarding a commercial airliner to go to these casinos here in the very near future. Big cities all over America are going to start clamping down on security and major venues all over the country. It's going to be a dream world for the peddlers of the security industry. They're going to make billions and billions of dollars, so they profit. And then the security complex itself, the Department of Homeland Security and all these government security institutions are going to just have heyday, because now we're going to see more and more rules and regulations. We're going to see more and more security measures. The police state is going to start clamping down even greater after this. This is what happened after, 2001 and 9/11. We've been living in a burgeoning police state ever since. And every time you have a shooting like this, and this is the worst one so far, it won't be the last. It's the worst one so far. We're going to see more of the police state growing in this country. They're going to benefit. And then think about the loss of liberty. Think about the gun issue. I mean, they're already talking about banning the bump stock. Why doesn't somebody stand up on the wall of the House and say, you know what? The problem is we've got too many gun control laws on the books already. God-fearing, honest people are walking around unarmed because of the laws that we have enacted that have disarmed them, and they have become vulnerable to these potential killers, and therefore we need to give them the freedom that they used to have in this country to be able to arm themselves wherever they go, eliminate the gun-free zones, let the American people defend themselves wherever they go, take the gun control laws that are already on the books off the books. That's what should be done. But what are they doing? Even the White House, even Trump, even the Republicans are talking about, well, we're going to ban the bump stock. Ted, do you know that the guys who know what they're doing, I mean the gun guys that know what they're doing, could do the same thing that you can do with a bump stock with a stiff rubber band?
That's right.
I'm not kidding. Look it up on the internet if you don't believe me. You can do the same thing with a stiff rubber band. Okay, what do we want to do? We're going to ban rubber bands now? Right? This is lunacy. The problem is we have disarmed the American people. How many states, how many big cities have disarmed their people? They are absolutely defenseless in the face of assault. And, you know, instead of addressing the issue that the American people need to rearm themselves, I mean legally, and be able to bear their arms, carry their arms wherever they go, get rid of the gun-free zones, let teachers arm themselves, let government workers arm themselves, let the military people that are sitting at the induction centers and the career centers, let them arm, let everybody be an American free to defend themselves, which is the God-given duty that we have by our Creator. But instead, what are they doing? More gun control. We need more government. We need more security. We need more DHS. We need more tax dollars for our security system, for our police state, for our police agencies. We have so that we can continue to enslave the American people. This is the continuous results of these kind of activities, and it doesn't seem to matter whether it's a Democrat or a Republican in the White House and which party controls Congress. That's who gains. So when you say, why, duh, the goal has always been to disarm the American people. The only reason the Western world is free today, in whatever degree they are, is because of the armed citizenry of the United States. It's not because of our military. It's not because of our Air Force and our Navy and our nuclear weapons and our military. No. The only reason the Western world is free is because of the private ownership of firearms, especially the military-style AR-15 semi-automatic rifles and that caliber and grade of weapon. It's only because of the American people freely possessing those weapons that the Western world is free today. You disarm the American people, Ted, and we are going to go, I say we, the Western world, will plunge into 500 years of tyranny. What's the goal? Why would they do it? Duh. See, first of all, you got to say to yourself, you know what? There is a conspiracy in people in government and business, and it's a global international effort to strip the American people of our guns, of our liberties, and to bring America into a New World Order globalist environment. There is a conspiracy to do that. I'm sorry, that's the word. It's a conspiracy to do that. And until people are willing to acknowledge that it exists, it's going to continue to exist because there's no one around to challenge it. So these guys that say, well, you know, who's going to gain? What's the benefit? Duh. I mean, how many times does this have to happen? And I guarantee you that if we don't start getting to the issue of, you know what, there is a dark side to government. There are people that are doing things illegally, unconstitutionally, immorally, viciously, violently, callously, taking the lives of innocent people. We've got to start looking at who they are, how they operating. Where's Congress? Why aren't they stepping up to the plate saying, wait a minute, we're supplying all these dollars, but we're not given an account as to what's going on. We don't
That's
even
right.
have a clue as to how the CIA, for example, is spending the dollars that we're giving them. And they don't. They don't have a clue.
Nope. Black ops. Black budget.
Without accountability, there is no freedom.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Chuck. The next thing he says to me goes, and this article says, it says, what law requires investigators to immediately release every video in their possession for public consumption? And my response is this. The FBI seized almost, in fact, all of the videos at 9/11 with the Pentagon being struck. We never, except for the Freedom of Information Act, we received like 5 frames, and these guys never give us the information that they receive because it's all part of a vast cover-up. We saw that with the JFK assassination. So one more time, Chuck, we're running pretty close to the bottom of the hour. Give out your website. How can people support your effort? How can they get in touch with you?
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, I got carried away there a little bit.
Oh, you've been great. I love it.
It's ChuckBaldwinLive.com. Chuck Baldwin, B-A-L-D-W-I-N, ChuckBaldwinLive.com. And they can find my column. It's up there right now, the one you're referring to. And, of course, I've got messages on this that are also on DVD that are available. They go up to the store, and you'll see all of the DVDs and the books and so forth that we have available. And my columns can be sent free of charge to anybody that would like to have them, Ted. If they'll just sign up, there's a place where they can sign up to receive the columns via the email, and they'll get it in their email every Thursday, absolutely free. So if they want to do that, they can do that as well.
I want everybody to know that I've gone to Chuck's website, and I pretty much bought everything on the website. Chuck will tell you that. Pretty much everything. And I did. I just bought everything. You know, and I said, well, I'm going to support this guy. He's a good preacher. He's doing a good work. And I know that, you're out there as a patriot, and it's all part of what we do together. Chuck, I got the music playing. We're going to break. God bless you, buddy. Thanks so much for being with me for the first part of the show.
God bless you. Thank you, Ted.
Bye-bye.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of 3 families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And welcome back to the Hagman & Hagman Show. This, again, is Ted Brewer, your host for this evening. My next guest is the dark journalist, Daniel Litz, an amazing man. I've watched his videos for years and years and years. He has some of the best guests on alternative news on a regular basis. I absolutely love Catherine Austin Fitz and Elena Freeland, and his interviews are always succinct, to the point, and very, very professional. And Daniel, I appreciate what you've done, buddy, and you've done a lot. Tell everybody how they can get in touch with you and how they can sign up for your emails and how they can sign up for your broadcasts.
Well, thank you, Ted. I'm actually very aware of the work that you do as well, and I've always enjoyed it. I'm at darkjournalist.com, and anyone can sign up there for the newsletter and anything else that I do with the interviews. And I'm looking forward to speaking with you tonight.
Good. There's several things. There's so many things that you've talked about that I've listened to you with Catherine Austin Fitz and with Elena Freeland with the fence around the planet now, the space fence. But I'd like to talk about one thing about Catherine Austin Fitz, because we've talked about this before with the fallen angel thing or with the fallen DNA or whatever these other entities are that are on the planet. Tell us a little bit what you know about that, because, you know, we're a big promoter and we believe what happened in Genesis chapter 6 happened in Genesis chapter 6 with the fallen angels and these aliens or whatever you want to call them. I know you're a Christian, and I know, you know, you've been very open and very vocal about that, which we all love. So how do we reconcile all of this together with Christianity? And tell me a little bit about what Catherine Austin Fitz has talked about with the budget, the deficits, and also with Elena Freeland with the space fence. So that's what this interview is going to be about tonight, guys. This is going to be a hot 30 minutes. So, Daniel, go ahead and go where you want to start.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, somebody like Catherine Austin Fitz, who's the former assistant housing secretary under Bush 1 and also worked with HUD in the Clinton administration, she got to see it all up front because you know, she worked on Wall Street before that, so she kind of understood a lot going in. And when you have those types of skills coming in there and actually not going along with the game, you can see things from a perspective of where's the money going. And so she found out pretty quickly that there was a black budget operating through HUD. And if you think about it, I mean, HUD is an interesting place for that kind of transactions to go on, because HUD was set up under LBJ to, you know, kind of create a fair housing environment and funding for underprivileged families to be able to own their own homes. And but it's had a long, jaded history. You might recall that even when Ben Carson got appointed under Trump, he, interestingly enough, he instantly came out and said, oh, there's $600 million missing here. So, you know, HUD seems to have this kind of recurring problem where they don't know how to reconcile the money, and very often it's because the money and the kind of planning that goes on in something like HUD, it's easy for a group operating under black budget strategies to exploit it, because it's just the kind of place where you do it, as opposed to, you know, the Department of Defense, when people keep a closer eye on it. HUD is the kind of thing that really gets lost in the shuffle. So her go ahead.
She said one thing that I want to kind of emphasize. She said it was over $30 trillion, which had been kind of sucked up into this black budget. And then she said another number she gave was $21 trillion here in one of your last interviews. Explain to us where all that money's gone, Daniel.
Yeah, well, the $21 trillion actually that she arrived at is the DOD with HUD. And if you count in the larger agencies where she's had to forecast using a group of researchers, then the number gets higher. It gets up to around $40 trillion. But the actual kind of number that she focuses in on is this $21 trillion, because it's so easy for anyone to go in there and actually backtrack the paperwork for that. And that's the DOD and HUD. So that kind of money, you have to ask yourself, you know, it does a lot more than just buy these guys Ferraris or, you know, mansions on the hill. I mean, this is really enough money to set up a world endowment. And in this case, what we see happening to the money is that they've been working on plans, and one of those plans is the continuity of government plan. We've had that in place from the government since the 50s, and that's the kind of thing where they were planning for a nuclear strike during the Cold War with the Russians back then. So you could kind of legitimize the expense, and you could kind of legitimize the secrecy that was around it. But what happened was the people who were in charge of that basically decided to use it in a fashion where these deep state operators could exploit the money and could exploit the power of having this hidden system of finance in place. So it's a very tricky situation, because once we got into it, it was very, you know, it's impossible to get out unless transparency is brought. And you can see that from people from Kennedy all the way up to the Trump administration, it's very hard to bring transparency to this situation, because it's basically something like a functioning parallel government. And that's Professor Scott's term for it, was the deep state. And I think this is really an accurate term, because it's a separate state and it acts like a system. So when it needs something from the public state, it steps in and dramatic things happen when they need policy changes. So that would, you know, that's really who holds the power of those kind of train tracks of the black budget. What they're using it for in terms of space is, you know, we've had a program parallel to the public program for space, and the public program under NASA is supposed to be under civilian control, but ultimately answers to the military. And the secondary program had to be built up under covert means, because, you know, we're operating under treaties where we can't place offensive weapons in space. That's a treaty that we signed onto in 1968. So all of our activities in that department had to be clandestine or piggyback on other things that were happening. So when we look at programs, they put a program in place during the 80s, which was called Star Wars SDI, and the idea was we'll bring the Russians to the table because we'll be able to zap missiles from space. But another program that they started under the Reagan administration was called the Space Fence, and this was just set up to collect junk that had been placed in space and, you know, no longer was functioning, supposedly. So this is the ostensible purpose for the Space Fence. But over time, this program became kind of a backdoor for allocating black budget money to. And the installation of satellites that were going on, when they were putting this infrastructure up there in space, they were getting a lot of interference from other craft. So their initial thoughts, well, the Russians have something up there. Later on, it became what kind of a situation is this? And under the Reagan administration, there was actually a panic about it, where Reagan tried to get Gorbachev on board to keep an eye on these off-world craft with him. So, and would they join up in the event of an alien invasion? So this was really something that they considered at a very high level.
Now, also, she says that there's another, how should I say, the different distinct DNA on the planet, and that these people are actually in charge. Tell us what she means by that when she says stuff like that.
Well, I think that there's things that, in terms of what Catherine will say, where she'll identify things that are speculation versus what she knows. And okay. So the budgetary stuff and things around the black budget funding for space, there's a long data trail for that. I think that the speculation has come up around intervention and interdimensional intervention by other beings and other realities. And it is fascinating, because we have a long history now, 70 years of UFO encounters by the military, by civilians, and nobody really knows what that is. And, you know, there's a supposition that the government knows what it is, and that they're hiding that reality. But the interesting thing about these different reports is the government at that level is so compartmentalized that, you know, talking about interdimensional beings or off-world civilizations, there's not going to be a regular representative for that. You're not going to find that in NASA, for example. But you will notice that if you go back earlier to like the 50s and 60s, when the military first had to talk about this publicly, they would say things like, yes, they are out there, but they don't pose any national security threat. This was very technical language, because if they posed a national security threat, then there'd have to be all this apparatus that was public about it. But if they don't, then they can keep it entirely as a covert program. And that's, you'll notice that language as it comes up is very interesting. It's an odd thing. On one hand, they're saying, yes, we see them too, but don't worry, they're not a threat. Later they changed and they just started to say, you know, it's the stuff of the Men in Black movies, or, you know, we get into this whole culture about ETs, and it's not really, it's kind of a promoted thing to get you thinking of it in fantastical terms. What the actual reality is very interesting, because nobody exactly knows what's going on. But if it were an earthbound civilization with those types of craft, obviously they'd be in a dominant position right now even.
Well, you did a video, oh gosh, I listened to it a couple of weeks ago, you sent it out, and you actually summarized everything in about 13 to 15 minutes about what was going on, what you felt was, I mean, the stuff that could be documented. And
yes.
I thought you did one of the best jobs I've ever heard on that. In fact, I listened to it two or three times, and I thought, wow, when I do the Hagman Show, I've got to get Daniel on. Would you like to go in a little bit more of that detail on that, or would you rather just talk about the space fence?
No, I'll give you the detail on that. I appreciate that. And, you know, it's great because SSP and COG, these are the acronyms that will really help us figure this out. And it is the summary of Catherine Austin Fitz, Dr. Joseph Ferrell, and Professor Peter Dale Scott's work in a nutshell. SSP is the secret space program, and COG is continuity of government. The continuity of government program was started with those underground bases because they thought there was the potential for a nuclear attack in the 50s. But that culture that grew up around it created a gigantic underground infrastructure, which is still largely secret. So we don't know what's going on down there, but they've been building it for over 70 years. Then, parallel with that, we get something which comes to be known as the Secret Space Program. And one of the reasons that we got kind of fuller documentation, fuller ideas about it, was that there was a NASA hacker who hacked into the Department of Defense.
That's right.
And he found, this is Gary McKinnon out in the UK, and he found an off-world officers list along with pictures of these craft. But the off-world officers list was the same way you would say like a Navy squad or an Air Force squad, but these were basically not astronauts, but they were, you know, meant as an officer list to go out into space. So it suggested this entirely different program that the public has no knowledge about but has funded up to this point. And when we look at the developments in space, it's very unusual because year after year, NASA has less and less of a budget. They've gone back to 1965 levels.
That's right.
And yet the privatization of space has taken off. So we have companies like Bigelow Aerospace, SpaceX, and they're preparing for all the opportunities that are up there. But then all that infrastructure that we've put together up there is now being privatized. So this is a question of where this missing money went to build this infrastructure in space, and who's going to get the benefit from it, not the taxpayers and the citizens who paid into it, but these private groups who were, you know, have close relationships with the government. So there's a profit corporate model that's in place there, and the space economy is something that can't be denied anymore. You know, even on MarketWatch and CNBC, they have to talk about it because right now, publicly, it's a $400 million a year business. So, you know, what's going to happen in the future? They have asteroid mining. These are the opportunities. They're going to have opportunities for space tourism and, you know, all of the things also that go in the lower atmosphere. Like right now we have GPS. They're going to enhance that dramatically. So everything really that's a growth industry is going to be in space, because many of the resources on Earth, although they'll continue to grow in certain ways, they won't have the kind of clip that you get from an entirely new environment. So space and the space economy is something that we have to come to grips with now. But the question is, how did they get to that point? So the secret space program, if they were installing this infrastructure in space, and if programs like Star Wars SDI that Reagan put in place really became part of the infrastructure. You know, everyone assumes, well, after the Soviet Union fell and it was just the Russians and the Americans and the Berlin Wall was gone and all that, that SDI Star Wars went away. Well, they spent millions of dollars creating SDI Star Wars. They're not just going to forget about it. And obviously they continued that research and they brought it up to a level where it is now. The problem is the jump from the secret space program into the space fence, if we go to the work of Ilana Freeland, Now, Ilana studied things like chemtrails, like HARP, here on Earth. And the tie-in is that the atmosphere, it was necessary to ionize the atmosphere in order for the space fence to work.
That's right.
This is one of the things that they had going on in the 80s with Star Wars, is they could not get the space fence quite activated because they didn't have that ionization going. But now they have that type of technology. And even with programs like CERN, you know, we do see that they're entering into this fuller kind of dimensional technology. And it's, you know, CERN is under the guise of trying to find the Higgs boson, the God particle. This is what the scientists call it. And so the reason that's given for this huge budget around this thing, I mean, this is a non-defense project that's billed over $6 billion, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. But they're supposed to be finding this Higgs boson. So what happens, though, and it's been observed when CERN is turned on, is it has all these incredible effects around the globe, including pulling on the atmosphere, so, and the magnetosphere. So we have really a lot of scientific development that's happening among a very small elite group that's very well funded, and they are also kind of maintaining a regular secrecy around these projects. A lot of these things are done in plain sight, like CERN is a facility, you know, that's right out there in the open. But at the same time, the funding is very mysterious about it. And a lot of the legalities around CERN are also quite strange. So we start to see the infrastructure for these programs, like CERN and the Secret Space Program, come out of this secrecy. And so you ask yourself, well, how would they maintain that kind of secrecy just under national security and the national security state? And we go back to the COG program, because the COG program, the idea is survivability under nuclear attack conditions, so ultimate emergency. But they changed that, actually, interestingly enough, in the 50s, they had it as nuclear. By the 80s, they changed it to just any emergency. And so that brought the COG rules out into space. That's why they can have the ultimate secrecy when in regards to space.
You know, Daniel, it's interesting because friends were asking me a few years ago when we put the shuttle mission to rest and we said it was no longer going to be used. I told them, I said, well, there's a reason for that. I said, it's a huge front, it's a smoke screen. I said, our technology is so beyond that, that that's 1920s yeah. rocket technology. I said, this is silly that we're even using it. I said, it's just to obfuscate what's really going on in space. How far advanced do you think they are that they haven't revealed to us? 50 years, 100 years, 200 years? How far out are they on this breakaway civilization, so to speak, that's so advanced from a technological standpoint, Daniel?
Oh, that's an excellent point, actually, which is they're very far ahead. There is a story about a NASA scientist who was speaking with a researcher who was trying to get a handle on this. Now, this conversation took place in 2004. And it was that in 1964, they had double the processor speed that we had in our advanced personal computers. They had double the capacity for that 40 years earlier. So if we really extrapolate from that, that just in NASA at the time, they were operating with, you know, that much better. And then we split it up by 40 years, we can see that we're really living in a completely different paradigm. These people are literally centuries ahead with their technology. Because the way technological development and science works is one guy proves something. You know, he comes out and, it's, say, in the field of medicine, and everyone piggybacks on the discovery that he makes. And if you don't get those breakthroughs, then your culture remains behind the curve. And, you know, you have kind of arrested development, which is why, you know, I was driving the other day and I was seeing this guy. He had an amazing media system in the top of his car. I mean, this guy could do anything. It looked like a control panel from Star Trek. And I was like, that's really futuristic, the way he's got that set up in there. And then I looked underneath the car, and here we had basically Henry Ford's steam engine, you know, chug-a-lug this stuff with gasoline. I mean, it didn't make any sense. And that kind of, if you look at it, the confusion between those two worlds, you know, how far behind we are because we're still in this oil paradigm, it makes you wonder just how many other advances that are being kept from us. And at this point, the evidence mounts that in everything from health, you know, we know a lot of cancer treatments have been suppressed, age extension technologies, all of these different areas. What you just referred to as the breakaway civilization, which, by the way, I think is the correct term, really, when you get right down to it. Because when you have different science and you have different technology and different medicine, ultimately, you're functioning as a totally different society. And, you know, in our civilization, we still have these kinds of limitations. We're talking about the environment, or we're talking about the effects of gas, you know, and cars and all these types of things. And those guys are way beyond questions like that. They've already figured out, they've gone into nanocomputing, they've gone into heavy-duty magnetic inventions that eliminate the need for, you know, combustion vehicles.
That's right.
So really, it is a tale of two civilizations. The question is really what the end game for the other civilization is, because the way it's been described is, you know, you have to imagine if a guy had a wife and then he had a whole second life and another family going on, and one of those wives knows about the other one, but the other one doesn't know about the first one. It's kind of a good description.
Well, let me ask you another question. I personally believe that we have advanced propulsion systems, and I know that one of the top guys, I believe it was from, you'll know his name, he said that we can take ET home now, and that
yes.
we have the ability. I mean, to tell us about that.
Well, it's a very interesting.
That was Kurzweil, wasn't it?
No, it's Ben Rich, actually.
Ben Rich, okay.
And he was the main guy at Skunk Works, which really is the most advanced testing that we had going on in relation to space. And, you know, his quote was very interesting because it's shortly before the end of his life, and he said, "We already have the ability to take ET home and back."
Right.
So, there are other cases, for example, when we brought over a lot of these Nazi scientists and they worked with us closely in setting up NASA, because the Germans were so advanced on the space front compared to the Americans that without them we never would have gotten the space program. Unfortunately, you know, through that paperclip program, we also got a lot of hardcore Nazis into important positions.
That's right.
And I think we've been shaking out that influence ever since, including setting up the CIA, had a lot of Nazi influence as well.
That's right.
But sticking to Ben Rich's story, when we look at it, Wernher von Braun also, when he was talking with an American teacher who was assigned to him basically to learn about space, and it was this kind of civilian space cooperation thing, he said to her, you know, when she said, "How on earth did you ever get this far advanced in terms of the space program?" And he said, "We had help," which is very unusual because, you know, is he referring there to finding ancient technology? Is he referring to some other civilization helping out, interdimensional? What exactly was he referring to? But he certainly gave her the impression that he was talking about an off-world civilization. That was her impression, but we don't actually know exactly what he was referring to. I think there's enough stories like that to suggest that they have a greater knowledge, these people that are working at that level. And that's a very crucial kind of high level. And I think everyone who goes to those Davos meetings and the Bilderberg people, they all aspire to get into that level, because the technology ultimately is the biggest secret on that end of things. And then, you know, when you think about if they're aware of interdimensional realities and the types of influences that are going on there, then it becomes, you know, you start to understand and you say, oh, the secrecy is in place because, you know, they don't want people finding out what they're up to financially, technologically, and even spiritually.
You're right. Daniel, give me your information on how people can contact you and listen to your shows.
Ted, I appreciate it, and it's great to be on with you. It's darkjournalist.com is where someone can sign up for the newsletter. I'm also on YouTube. It's youtube.com/darkjournalist. and my shows are there. Or if somebody wants more content, they can also sign up at darkjournalist.com and become a member.
That's right. I highly recommend that everybody listening does that. If you really want to get some really brain-twisting stories, some things that make you really think deep about what's happening with this interdimensional stuff that Daniel talked about, his is the website to go to, because so much of the stuff is so well documented. I really enjoyed listening to his videos. Daniel, I want to thank you so much for coming on with me tonight. I want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to ask you these questions and talk about the space fence with Elena Freeland and also Catherine Austin Fitz. And I just want everybody to know that I consider this man to be a true patriot, and also he's a really, really good news person as far as getting your information from. So, Daniel, thanks so much for being on with me tonight. And we'll be going to break in just a minute, so I'm going to go ahead and close the rest of this segment out myself, if you don't mind, please.
Thanks, Ted.
Thanks, buddy. Guys, I want you to know something, that Daniel is probably one of the most brilliant journalists that I've ever listened to, and he does an excellent, excellent job as far as what he does and what he promotes. Now, I'm also going to say this. From a Genesis chapter 6 standpoint, we have to be aware of what's happening here from a Christian standpoint. We have to, because I know most of the people listening tonight are born-again believers. We've got to understand that these entities were here before the flood, and it says they were also here after the flood. And guys, now we're having to deal with them, and now we know they're here for sure, even from a scientific standpoint. So we've got to pay attention to these types of stories. God bless you guys. We'll be back in just a moment. Next guest will be the one and only Sheila Zaslinski, and we'll be talking about the NFL. It'll be a great segment.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. But what Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family, prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, and an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com. PreciousTimberProfits.com.
Hey, Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is Ted Brewer, your host tonight from HealthMasters.com. I want to thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. Man, we've had incredible two first guests, and we're having a third one come up that I know is going to be also awesome. Also, I want to thank you guys for supporting HealthMasters.com, getting your mobile vitamins from us and supporting us. YouTube, by the way, just yanked my entire account and pulled it down as far as what we're doing on our talk show every day. So that was interesting. So, you know, this is something that you guys have to be aware of, is that the alternative media needs your support. And tonight's show is phenomenal. I love this. We're going quick, fast on a lot of different topics. And my next guest is no exception. She's phenomenal. I've been listening to her for years, Sheila Zielinski. She also has a ministry that she has up in Canada, and she's also a U.S. citizen. Sheila, how can we get information from you, and what's your email contact information, and how can people listen to your show?
Well, it's really easy. They can actually, it's really easy as of today, this minute. It is Sheila.media. That's the new website. So easy peasy, Ted.
Okay, how are you spelling Sheila? Because I have about 18 different spellings of that.
Sheila.media. Easy. Everything's
excellent,
there.
Excellent. Now, you sent an article out, one of your shows that you did, on the NFL, and you're also talking about the slime bucket Weinstein, and you're also talking about the stuff at Vegas. I want you to wrap this up for people in a nice little bow. Tell us if Donald Trump is still in charge or if his power has been usurped. Tell us what's going on with him, with the military, how should I say, attaché that surrounds him now, the junta. Tell me what's going on in the United States. Tell me what's going on with home. Tell me what's going on with Vegas. Tell me what's going on with the globalists and what's going on with Weinstein and these pedophiles and these sickos. What in the world is happening today? Sheila, it's yours. Go.
Well, there's a not so easy task to break down for the listeners, I'm telling you. Well, hey, listen. I'm going to start off with something here, Ted. Proverbs 3:31. What does it read? It says, "Envy thou not the what? The oppressor, and choose none of his ways." Today, what do we know as the oppressors here? Well, these New World Order bullies of the NFL, to bully us into submission, who kneel or hide when our national anthem's played, forcing a captive audience to witness their disrespecting, vile, insulting, and uninformed view of what America stands for? I don't think so. You want to see a picture of a soldier with half his leg blown off, Ted? That's what taking a knee for our country looks like. Go look up a picture with a veteran missing his quadrant and up. You know, and that's where we heard this mindless idiot LeBron James last night. He was on the Jimmy Kimmel show, of course, blaming Trump again for dividing the nation. Hey, LeBron, you oversized, overpaid buffoon. You might want to go do your homework and read the WikiLeaks. George Soros, all this ilk, their divide and conquer strategy, Ted, they're pulling out all the stops with all these mindless pro athletes, celebrities. Oh, speaking of buffoons, have you seen Eminem's mock Trump rap crap? That's really, really classy, Eminem. Keep it classy. The Hollywood minions and all their bought and paid for rhetoric, the Grammys, the Emmys, the late night shows, all these Hollywood minion confabs. Just like, well, you just mentioned him earlier, Weinstein. Oh, Mrs. Liberal hireling today, Jane Fonda on Twitter, abortion-loving pal of that demon Gloria Steinem. She says, oh, you know, I just feel so bad I didn't say anything. Oh, shut up, Jane Fonda, you minion. You didn't feel bad about covering it up for 30 years and your husband a big depopulationist. So, you know, audience, here's the deal. Watch and see these vile, unscrupulous charlatan rats run for cover and turn on each other. Now, I think God is actually, Ted, pulling back the curtain on these demons. He's exposing evil. I told people 10 years ago the NFL was the biggest propaganda machine, how it's tied to DHS, to FEMA. I did a show after show after show after show. 1 month I was talking about all the, you know, the connections to DHF, Operation Mountain Guardian, right out of the pit of hell. There was crickets. It was silence. The silence was deafening. And I was telling people, listen, the NFL is some anti-Christian, anti-American, gun-grabbing multiculturalism. That is straight out of the pit of hell, Ted. People go, oh, multiculturalism, it sounds good. Diversity, acceptance of all, coexist, join hands, sing kumbaya, forget individuality. We're all one with the universe. Kumbaya, the Christ consciousness. This is all straight off that coexist bumper sticker, straight out of the Alice Bailey occult New Age playbook. This is part of Brave New World meets 1984 on steroids. And so you know, it's like this ninja blender. We were talking on a show, you and I, about your morning shakes. This is a milkshake, a subjugation, Ted. You want my recipe? It's Hegelian dialect, Solowinski playbook.
Problem like solution, that's right.
Hitlerian propaganda, Goebbels, repeat a lie over and over, people will believe it. Mind control, militarization, just like the shooter, these program multiples. Oh, look over here, folks. Never mind that the Las Vegas whole narrative is crumbling. Harvey Weinstein is like a real piece of work. Well, look over here. You know, so you've got Google and Facebook, or Gulag and Fascist Book, taking over the internet. Stasi-style censorship. You just mentioned it, how YouTube is, you know, demonetizing all our stuff. You know, step out of the car, sir. I think you've had a bit too much to drink. No, it's step out of the car, sir. I think you've had too much to think. They don't want you to think for yourself.
That's,
you know,
right.
Years ago when I called out Walmart, or as I call them, China Direct, when they were involved in FEMA, I warned people. I showed them classified documents. It was crickets, Ted. It was crickets. You know, the National Football, that whole league is absolutely straight out of the pit of hell. What part of must do do these clowns not get here, Ted? So essentially, I read that on air a couple weeks ago. I did this like NFL Smackdown. I was talking about, it was like, I think it was page 62. I don't even have the playbook, rule book thing in front of me, but the national anthem, basically what I said was they must, M-U-S-T, they must, prior to every game, must be on the sideline for the national anthem. There's actually, like, there's rules against failure to be on the field during the start of the national anthem. And so what does it say? Oh, wow, shocker, may result in discipline such as fines, suspensions, firings, forfeits. Gee, I wonder if the NFL has a specific rule that you must be on the field. Oh, yeah, that's right. You have to actually, Ted, act in a certain way. So that's the whole part. You know, Goodall had the perfect opportunity, folks, to put the kibosh on this idiot Kaepernick, the same guy that praised communist Fidel Castro, by the way. You know, so anyway, this clumsy handling of much of the stuff we're just talking about. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, the globalist puppet that he is, the son of a very high-brow liberal senator from New York named Charles Goodell, very rich, what does he make, $45 million, Ted? Because, what, he presides over this colossal of TV ratings and revenue. You know, how much revenue do these guys generate? What was it,
billions, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, $14 billion in TV and other revenue ads, you know, secures him the goodwill of the NFL owners, whose discretion he serves, not the people that are watching. And the league is reporting these historic levels of viewership. I mean, just in the fall of 2014, I was talking about this, Ted, the NFL games contributed to 40 of the most watched television programs out of a remarkable 45 of the top, like it was 50. I think the only other interlopers were like maybe the World Series and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. But other than that, you know, the 2015 Super Bowl, I think I did a little breakdown under that, you know, between the deflating Patriots and the performance-enhancing drug-gobbling Seahawks, it attracted the largest U.S. TV audience ever. So what does that all have to do with what's going on? Well, here's the bullet points, if you get anything from this, folks. The NFL is evil. It's anti-Christian, anti-family, anti-patriot, anti-constitutional, anti-gun, anti-America. It's vile. It's disgusting. It's liberal. It's, you know, their ads, even their video games. One of my son played college ball, my oldest son out of three sons, and I was shocked, even in their video games. I think they had NFL 2014. I was stunned. The gay propaganda. Let's not even get into the Jerry Sandusky's, the connections to pedo rings, the domestic abuse, the child abuse, the cover-ups, the cheating, the taxpayer fleecing, the domestic abuse, the illegal benefits, the gambling rackets, the cheating, debauchery. Anything goes, Ted, in this league of outlaws. It's staggering, isn't it?
Well, what's interesting about this, Alan Watt did a show. Now, I'm not talking about the one from the 60s. I'm talking about he's Alan Watt right now. He's got a long ponytail. And he was on with Alex Jones a few years ago. But he no longer apparently does Alex Jones's information or shows. But he's got one interview he did with Alex Watt. And he talks about how the TV set and how sports are used for mind control. And he says what they want to do is put you into an alpha or a theta brainwave state and promote all the commercials to you. all of the gay stuff to you, all of the non-American rhetoric to you, and they basically want to have you visualize that you're part of that team, you're part of that sports team, because they have so demasculinized the American population that people want to be part of a team, and they're willing to sit there and watch the NFL, buy their memorabilia, do all the things they do, wear their little t-shirts, wear their little jerseys, and pretend like they're that team, that they're on the field, they're playing, because they've been so emasculated or castrated, whatever you want to say, in their own lives. They go to work and they have to submit. Their wives make them submit. In many cases, they've got bad marriages. So they don't really know what to do with their lives, and they're still having that need to be part of a group think. And they get involved with these NFL teams and with college teams too. It happens the same thing. And they're able to brainwash these people and basically able to subdue them through the beta, you know, through the alpha brain waves and through the theta brain waves, into thinking that it's okay, they're part of a winning team already, they're part of a tribe that's doing great, so they don't really have to go out and say anything about the government. I know people that can give you NFL statistics going back to the 70s. I mean, like, who won, when, and where? I mean, numbers, dates, everything, who played. But they don't know anything about alternative media. They don't know anything about Sandy Hook, what really happened to Sandy Hook, or 9/11, or they have no problem even not questioning the narrative in Vegas. And when you start asking them questions, Sheila, about what's really important right now, they are completely and totally clueless. They are that brainwashed by the NFL. What do you think?
Well, there's a mouthful. I could take that in so many directions. Well, the NFL Ted's nothing more than a propaganda machine brainwashing the mindless sheep every night of the week with, like you said, the alpha, beta, delta, gamma, theta, the lulling people to sleep in a trance, slipping people into, well, mass hypnosis. That's declassified. This high-level mind control, the Michael Aquino, the world. Actually, very interesting tie-in. Russ Dizdar and I just uploaded it to my social media. We actually did an incredible show today. I posted it there on Facebook. And we kind of broke down this whole idea. Was this guy does he fit the VTech shooter, the Jared? Does he fit this, like, program multiple, you know, Red Dawn, Black Awakening, coming forthright kind of assassin? I think it's called Vegas Shooter, Profile of a Madman, or something far more sinister. I know that's a mouthful, but anyway, the point is that, you know, this Vegas Shooter is kind of a good example of these, it's like this mind control. It's not just MK Ultra. It's, look at Hitler was doing with Lebensborn when he, Ted, was, you know, forget about blonde hair and blue eyes. These were very high level occultic, high level witchcraft, demonization, program multiple, you know, splitting personalities. In order to have a programmed multiple, you have to have a programmer. You know, and that sounds like tinfoil hat kookery, like they just did a big spiel on me with Right Wing Watch yesterday. I'm the new, you know, Therion tinfoil kook on the block now. Reigning, reigning kook is Sheila Zelinsky. How dare Sheila Zelinsky say that the Vegas shoot, you know, they just were hammering me on that. But, you know, these pundits are calling it a right. And that's what I want to touch on for the folks listening. It's not a right to protest the anthem. Wait a minute, Sheila, what did you just say? Ooh, I can just hear the gasps. Listen, the First Amendment does not have any application to your workplace. You can't just, you know, like if you're a Walmart greeter or the FedEx delivery guy, you can't just hand you your package and say, oh, by the way, Ted, I'd love you to join Scientology. You are not allowed to, I mean, that First Amendment doesn't apply to your workplace. You can't just at work engage in any freedom of speech when, like I said, the delivery driver, the greeter, whatever, fill in the blank, they don't have the constitutional right to talk about their religious views. Can the clowns and the jackals on the fake news quit saying that word? The rights of the National Football League players. It doesn't apply. Zero, zilch, zilp, nada, never did, never will. The First Amendment is a limitation on government. Well, the NFL, big news flash, it's not a government. So the NFL teams as private entities, they're not covered by the First Amendment. And I get there's individual player contracts and the players' collective bargaining agreements and legal rules and, you know, jargon and yada yada. But, and I don't know about all these powers to, you know, these ruling owners, the expansive powers to discipline or fire the players. But the news flash is this. Can the NFL fire players for kneeling during the anthem? You bet they can. They can. Will they? No. And for a long time, the ownership has prohibited all kinds of political causes, controversial political protests. The Dallas Cowboys last year, remember this, Ted, wanted to have a decal on his helmet, just a few games, honoring the five dead cops. No way. The NFL said, we're not going to allow our uniforms and stadiums to be used to advance any political cause. 9/11, same thing. A year ago, a linebacker wanted to wear a patch that said, never forget, honoring those fallen. The NFL said, no, again, look, we're not going to honor dead cops. We're not going to honor the folks who lost their lives during 9/11. We're not going to wear purple cleats. Hello, Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker. We're not going to wear these purple cleats for domestic abuse. Sorry your mom had to go through it, but we're not doing that. The league said, we have rules. We have rules against political causes. So how is it possible, Ted, for the NFL last year to allow Colin Kaepernick to begin this protest against whatever it is that this mindless minion, it changed every week? That's
well,
what I
here's, here's how I look at it, Sheila. Somehow these guys that run the planet, these Sabbatean Kabbalists, they understand the importance of symbolism. That's why they attack the Confederate flag so vehemently, and that's why they're attacking statues all over the place this past year. Now, even Columbus's statue was disfaced in this past week with Columbus Day. Now, what's interesting about this is they've got to destroy the symbology before they can destroy the country. And the country, when you sing the national anthem and you're raising the flag and you got your hand over your heart, that's very symbolic. You know, when Germany did that one movie, it was called, what was the one? That one that Goebbels did that was just, it was an incredible propaganda piece. Power of the Will or something like that, or Triumph of the Will. If you guys haven't watched that video, you can get it on YouTube. And I'm not talking about the content as far as saying, oh, wow, that's correct. It's the intent of the video to brainwash. Now, and it's all symbology. It's the Nazi, you know, the eagle. It's the Nazi swastika. It's the Nazi flags. All of this stuff all over this movie, Triumph of the Will. Probably one of the best propaganda pieces that's ever been done. Now, they understand that in the NFL, when people are basically singing the national anthem and the flags being raised and they have their hand over a heart, those are symbols that have to be destroyed. They've got to destroy the symbology of the country before they can destroy the country. They've got to tear the country in half. And the way they can do that, they have to discredit the flag. The problem is they didn't expect to have the blowback they've had from this. There's no way that these guys who are all money-oriented and greedy want to have the blowback with their viewership dropping to like an all-time low. They don't want that. But it's the symbology in the right brain. Because when you see an image like a Confederate flag or the United States flag, it burns indelibly into the synaptic function of the right brain. It can't be forgotten. That's why Apple uses their symbol of the bitten apple. And you have all of these different symbols that are being used with IBM, with ABC, with CBS, and all of this stuff. I mean, CBS is still, you know, the all-seeing eye, right? So you got all of this symbology that's being used over and over and over. Every time you handle a dollar bill, you see the all-seeing eye. Every time you handle a dollar bill, your subconscious picks up on the pyramid. All of this stuff with Osiris and Isis and all those old things that they still believe in. This is what's going on right now with the NFL, in my opinion. They have to destroy this image of the flag. They have to destroy the national anthem, and they're causing fractures. They should be able to protest anything they want. No, they can't protest. Yes, they can. And then Trump turns into this chaotic thing with the NFL, which creates all of this conflict and chaos. And then the craziest thing about this is that to me, I would ignore all of these guys. I would call the NFL player union or whoever they are and say, if I was the president, hey, we need to cool this out because this isn't good for the country. You need to realize if you're going to make political statements like this, you know, you're a nonprofit organization, 501(c) group, I guess. So if you're going to do all of this, we're going to yank your doggone 501(c) status and we're going to be done with this mess and you're not going to be nonprofit any longer. That's how I would have handled it. But we're having all of this crazy stuff taking off. Let me ask you a question, Sheila. Is Trump in charge or is the deep state dictating what he does?
Well, that's the big, you know, $10 million question. There's the deep state, though, Ted, and the deeper state.
That's right. That's right.
I think there's a distinction there. I personally think that it was a miracle that Trump got in.
I think
the hand of God. I haven't veered off that. Mark Taylor and I have done lots of shows on this. I do believe that, you know, I have a lot of question marks about Jared Kushner. You just mentioned it yourself, the Sabbatean Kabbalists. I mean, I have a lot of reservations about Ivanka Trump, but let me tell you something right now. Donald Trump, No one tells him what to do, I don't believe. And that's why he's such a refreshing person. I mean, he fumbles and bumbles a bit, but we don't want these career politicians with their gleaming little Colgate smiles and their lies and their crooked ways like Hillary. We don't want these kind of people anymore. The American people spoke about it. You know, so I don't care what Eminem says in his little dwindling, like, no one's buying his album, by the way. Gee, newsflash, a guy's got an album coming out in 3 weeks. Like, any kind of publicity is better than nothing, right? But I don't. Well, so the answer.
I had one of my, yesterday I did a show, and I had Robert David Steele on the day before, you know, yesterday, and the day we had Dave Hodges on, and we talked about what's going on with the deep state with Vegas. And one of my listeners called up. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him for over 20 years. And he told me, he said, we've got to continue to pray for Trump because no matter what, it's better than had we had Hillary in the White House. I agree with that 100%. And also, I thought, and I told him this, I said, we're going to pray on my show tomorrow that Trump has a road to Damascus experience. I mean, I'm talking about a getting knocked off the horse, blinded and everything else, just like Apostle Paul had when he was Saul of Tarsus. If we can get Trump, if we can all agree of that to the unison, I'll pray in the final half an hour of the show tonight. I want people to realize if we can pray for Trump to have that type of epiphany, that type of experience, a road to Damascus experience with Christ, if he has that, I really believe that he can turn these things around and get rid of the deep state, at least come clean on a national news conference and tell us what's going on if they don't try to tell us at that point that he's insane and they want to remove him because of one of the amendments to the Constitution. What do you think?
Well, I'm not going to be very popular for this, and I've had a lot of people mad at me. Sheila, didn't you listen to Alex Jones? Didn't you listen to Robert Steele? Didn't you listen to Steve Pachenik? And I'm holding true on what I think. And like I said, I'm not going to be popular, but I believe that Trump is really trying to drain the swamp. Maybe I'm a little, you know, people go, oh yeah, no, forget it. No. But listen, I really do believe that the hand of God is on the man. Is he perfect? No, he's not. But look at the stuff he's already done. The Johnson Amendment, the 501c3. Yeah, well, that thing is straight out of the pit of hell. That's a whole other show. But listen to what Trump has done over and over. The occultists hate him. The witches hate him. The warlocks hate him. The witches are casting spells on him. The deep state and the deeper state and probably even the deepest state is, you know, not a fan of him. So when you look at who this man's enemies are, entire Hollywood pedophilia rings hate the guy's guts. So unless that's some kind of elaborate show, am I a fan of McMaster? No, I'm not. Is Steve Bannon got some, you know, some weird things that he's pointed out? Yes. But you know what? I'm going to stand with Trump as a deplorable.
Quick question, because we're almost out of time, Sheila. Weinstein, with all of this stuff with Hollywood, all the sick perverts and the pedophilia, do you think the guy's going to flee, pull a Roman Polanski, and run to Europe and hide in a non-extradition country like the Poland or Switzerland? Or do you think they're going to drop everything or nothing is going to be found like as it was with Bill Cosby? What do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking, I was picturing Bill Clinton standing on one side of him and Bill Cosby, saying, hey, nothing, no, don't worry about it there, Harvey, old pal. I think Weinstein's rape scandal, Ted, the only very beginning of the helly weird, as I call them, their inevitable downfall. Like I said, I've been calling out this stuff for a decade, you know, this sexual predator miscreant. I think God is actually answering our prayers every Wednesday. I know my team's doing spiritual warfare. We're binding and loosing and using our arsenal to have God pull back the curtain on these demons and expose pedophile rings. Look at Craig Sawyer's doing. You know, we need to be praying for Trump. We need to be praying for people on the front lines like us. We need to be praying. I'm just going to keep saying it like a broken record, because we have power and authority over all the power of the enemy. That's Luke 10:19, and it's not a cutesy phrase. Our weapons of warfare, what are they for? Pulling down the strongholds. We're dealing with a litany of these, you know, principalities and rulers of darkness. Look at who they serve. Oh, newsflash, Johnny Depp just did a disgusting video called Say 10, where Marilyn Manson slits his throat over this room full of, just when I think Hollywood could not reach the bar of pure defilement and debauchery, they always manage to shock me, Ted. I mean, enter Johnny Depp. I was so disgusted. So I kind of think all hell is breaking loose in Hollywood. There you go.
Well, you know, Hollywood, Hollywood, whatever you want to call it, good analogy, hates Christians. they have a deep-seated hatred of Christianity. And so we have to understand that. Sheila, how can people support you? Where can they send contributions to? What are your websites again? How can they listen to you on your show?
Well, and I'll just say this quickly. Listen, I did a whole article on the 50 things that they were doing that are anti-Christian. That's the NFL. So talk about anti-Christian, anti-gun. Sorry, I didn't have time to really develop that. But anyway, my website is very simply sheila.media. That's sheila.media. Very simple. You can go there. All my books, my shows, how to listen, everything is over there. Donate, you name it. Of course, you know, there's a rampage to kick conservative Christian voices off the air with this Pol Pot regime. But we just prevail, right, Ted? We just keep going and fighting for the kingdom of God.
Well, you know, I support you. I support Hodges. I support the Hagmans. You know, I do my best, and you know, to go ahead and, you know, and to promote people when they're on the show with me like tonight, because I know that we're all in this together. My YouTube channel was completely pulled down by YouTube. But they yanked like everything off. I had hundreds and hundreds of videos. They pulled all of them except for a couple. And now basically I just shut the thing down. I said, you know what, if you're going to play that game with me, I'll just turn it off. And the sad part about it is that I wasn't monetizing it. It was just the fact that they didn't like the content. And so the sad part of all of it is, Sheila, is that Christians, we talked about this at the beginning of the first hour with Chuck Baldwin, we've got to stand together here. We've got to stop backbiting each other, coming against each other, and we've got to realize that we're in this thing together. These guys, they don't think it's a game. They're playing for blood, and they're going to try to do everything they can to win this victory against us, and we can't allow it because our God is greater than their God, and we have to understand that our God sits on the throne of heaven. Guys, we'll be right back with the next guest. Stay tuned. Paul Williams coming up. Thank you, Sheila.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Train Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.trainclosethewoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
And welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Show, the worldwide broadcast. This is Ted Brewer, your host tonight, halfway through the show. We've got Chuck Baldwin on for the first 30 minutes, and we had the dark journalist Daniel Litz on for the second part, and then we had Sheila Zelinsky on the last half hour. All three of these guests have knocked it out of the park, and my next guest will be Paul Williams. I met him several years ago at a conference over in Tampa at a big church, and he just absolutely enthralled me. I sat there for hours. It took about 20 pages of notes. One of the best speakers I've ever heard. Absolutely brilliant man. And so, Dr. Williams, it's so good to have you on tonight, and it's my pleasure to actually do the interview with you.
Ted, call me Paul, please.
Okay, thank you, Paul. But now, you got a new book out, don't you?
I do. I have, well, I'm kind of prolific, Ted. I'm an obsessive compulsive. So I usually churn out a book at least once a year. So this new book is on the Catholic Church. It's called Among the Runes.
Okay, Among the Runes. Now, you said some stuff, and you talked to me about some stuff when you were doing the Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the CIA and the Vatican and the Mafia. And some of the things that you talked to me about have stuck in my head like a doggone splinter in a finger. And I've thought about them for years. And I've promoted your book, Operation Gladio. If you wonder why you've sold so many copies of it, it's probably because I talk about that book and tell everybody to buy it all the time. And so it's a phenomenal book. And I'm not making light of the fact that you've done a lot of marketing on it too. But it's the absolute best book I've ever read explaining what happened in Vietnam, what happened with the CIA, what happened with the drug running, what's going on in Afghanistan. And get any of Paul's books. They're all phenomenal. And so I just absolutely am blessed to have him on the show tonight. But can I talk a little bit about the book Operation Gladio and ask you a couple
absolutely,
questions
Ted. We can talk about anything you want to talk about.
Well, I want you, because I know that a lot of authors, when they have a new book coming out, they're kind of hesitant.
Forget about that. I don't care about promoting anything. Go ahead. Let's just jack.
Okay. You said something that really, really affected me when I was at your meeting. You said that when the CIA couldn't figure out how to get funding with when it was the OSS, I think it was Chiang Kai-shek they went to, and how he funded his million-man army in China. Tell everybody what they did and what he said and how they started doing Operation Gladio, and then we'll probably ask you what you think about this thing in Vegas. It was an Operation Gladio event. And also, I want to go into detail on the Cambodian Triangle and what happened with the drug running there and the drug running from the CIA out of Afghanistan. So, yes, it's going to be a quick 25 minutes. So go ahead, Paul.
Okay, Ted, in 1947, the CIA was established. And the CIA received funding from Congress, but no funding for covert operations. That was a huge problem, because covert operations represent the very crux, the heart of the CIA. And without that type of funding, the agency would be completely ineffective. So in 1947, people like Alan Dulles and William Donovan and James Angleton were obsessed with coming up with funding for the CIA, which was newly created once again in 1947. While the idea of the concept of getting funding for this new agency came from a guy by the name of Paul E. Helliwell, who had worked with the OSS in China. He had worked with Chiang Kai-shek and the Chinese National Army during the war. And at the end of the war, he noticed that Chiang Kai-shek had funded his army, the National Army, an entire army, by selling heroin. And the heroin originally came from China itself, but toward the end of the war, it came from Southeast Asia, the Golden Triangle, Laos, Cambodia, Burma, that area. And what Helliwell did was, Helliwell realized that the best assistance he could give to the Chinese nationals and to Chiang Kai-shek
during the war, and of course they were fighting the Japanese, was to transport heroin from this Golden Triangle to his base in Southeast China. And Helwell did that. He provided a fleet of planes that became known as the Cargo Air Transport, that transported heroin from, once again, the Golden Triangle to Chiang Kai-shek. And Helwell then realized that, man, here's a guy that's funding an entire army with heroin. And, man, if the CIA could get involved in selling heroin, they would have no need for Congress. They would have no need to go begging for funds for covert operations, because they could supply it themselves. And all they needed to do was to tap into that heroin trade. And he brought this idea to Dulles, and he brought this idea to William Donovan, and they thought, yeah, why not? Because in the United States, going back to 1947, there are not many heroin users. There's less than 20,000 people ever using heroin in the United States. But Donovan and Dulles and Angleton realized that within the inner cities, there were popping up these jazz clubs. And in these jazz clubs, which are frequented by blacks, by black Americans, these people are using what they call hop, which is marijuana. And they're smoking marijuana, and Dulles turns to Donovan in the meeting with Helwell, and he says, man, if these people can use marijuana, then, man, we can persuade them to use heroin. And if they start using heroin, our operation is underway. So in 1947, Donovan, and who was the head of the OSS and the father of the CIA, and Dulles, and other CIA officials, got in touch with Lucky Luciano. They brought him out of jail, and they brought him into Sicily. They also brought to Sicily Vito Genovese, and they set up Santos Traficante in Cuba, and they established through Helwell a flow of heroin from Southeast Asia, that went from Southeast Asia to Marseille in France, and from there to Sicily, and from Sicily it was packaged in crates that like orange that were filled with oranges, and the inside the oranges there were really wax was powder, and that was shipped on to Traficante, and Traficante through Luciano had the street connection to peddle it to the jazz clubs in New York and New Jersey originally, and that was the start of the heroin trade. And the CIA, from that time until present, has relied on heroin to sustain its black operations, its covert operations. Now, the proof of that, a lot of people are thinking, oh man, this sounds really crazy, but there's undeniable proof of this. Even during the Vietnam War, at the Andrews Air Force Base, when the bodies of dead soldiers were being transported to the United States, within the bodies, implanted within the bodies, and this was front page news in the Washington Post, the New York Times, was heroin. Stashes and stashes and stashes of heroin. You know, in later years, in Arkansas, and people like Gary Webb out in Southwest California, also discovered like the drugs were coming in through the CIA. There's even a movie about it now, American Made, with Tom Cruise. But it's very well established. The drugs provide the lifeblood of the CIA, and it started in 1947.
Let me ask you a question, Paul.
Sure.
I personally think, and I know I think you feel the same way, that one of the main reasons that we were in Southeast Asia was to secure a monopoly on the heroin trade out of the Cambodian Triangle. Is that correct or not?
Not only that, Ted, but that's the main reason we're in Afghanistan.
That's
you got to realize that I have two nephews over there who fought over there. Both of those, my nephews served two tours of duty. I don't know why. I'm not. But in Afghanistan, the standing order was, you know, you cannot trample or you cannot disrupt the poppy fields. I mean, that's common knowledge. So the heroin originally came from Southeast Asia, and now in recent years it's been coming from Afghanistan, and in the present day it's coming from Mexico. It's all CIA. Oh.
It's all CIA. Now, what's interesting about this to me is that the CIA is bringing this stuff in on their transport planes, on their lily pads, their 1,000 military bases around the world.
Mm-hmm.
How are they getting it off the military bases into the hands of the mafia to get it distributed?
Oh, it's very easy. what they're doing is, let's just look from Afghanistan, for instance. The heroin is transported by truck. Through Iran, into Turkey through the Anatolian plains, and from Turkey it's transmitted to Brussels, and it's placed on NATO aircraft, and from NATO aircraft it's transported to military bases throughout the United States, including Andrews. It's marked, you know, for special operations for CIA, picked up. From Andrews, it's transported to Patterson, transported to Chicago, transported to Baltimore, and from there, it arrives throughout the country.
Is it being transported on military trucks when it goes into Chicago and throughout the country so it doesn't get stopped?
Yeah, not only from on military transport, but on NATO transport. At times through State Department transport. Through a private carrier.
Now tell us about how the Catholic Church, they couldn't have so much money coming in, and how the Catholic Church was brought into this, and how the Masonic lodges infiltrated the Catholic Church, and how these guys were the ones who were running the drugs and then running the money back through the Vatican. That's a really, really important segment there, Paul.
Well, you got to realize when all this money started coming in from the heroin trade, well, originally what it was used for in 1947. The situation in Italy was very precarious. There were more communists in Italy than in any place in any country throughout Europe. There were more registered communists in Italy than there were in Moscow. And the PCI, the Italian Communist Party, was set to win the election in 1947. And what happened was the CIA, when they got this new money from the drug trade, channel that funding into Italy to defeat the to support the Christian Democratic Party and to defeat the PCI, the Italian Communist Party, and they did it with an outlay of incredible amounts of cash. They did it by a lot of muscle. They did it by a lot of blood, and of course the Catholic Church, the Church's party, and I'm a Catholic. I was raised Catholic. It was the Christian Democratic Party. And Pope Pius XII at that time was very, 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 very obsessed with the Christian Democrats winning that election. So he would have done anything. Because if, in fact, that the Christian Democrats had lost that election and the communists won, the Vatican would have lost their tax-exempt status in Italy, which means that all their holdings that they had accumulated since 1927 with the Lateran Treaty would have been taxed. The church would have been bankrupt again. So he was very, very, very hyper about that. So the money came in to Italy to defeat the communists, and they did succeed in that. But due to that alliance between the CIA and the Vatican, the CIA funds from its black ops began to flow into the Vatican Bank, because the Vatican Bank was the ideal laundry. It was a sovereign institution within a sovereign state. no outside agency could audit it. No MoneyVal, all these agencies that are supposed to overlook the activities of organized crime and money laundering, they were not allowed to scrutinize whatever took place in the Vatican Bank. It was a perfect laundry. And since 1947, the money from the drug trade has been channeled into parochial banks throughout Italy, and from those banks to the Vatican Bank, and from the Vatican Bank to numbered accounts in Panama and Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, you know, and that has been going on to present day. As a matter of fact, MoneyVal, when Francis, Pope Francis said, "Oh, we're going to make the Vatican Bank very transparent." Well, MoneyVal, which is the agency to oversee the banking, international banking, inspected the Vatican Bank and found out that there are 18 categories for transparency, and the Vatican Bank failed in 13. Completely closed off from public scrutiny.
But now, explain to the listeners how the Masonic lodges that had been forbidden to be a member of a Masonic lodge with the Catholic Church, and how all that changed around 1960 when all this stuff started.
Well, what you had was the CIA and the Vatican were very, very, very concerned about the rise of communism in Italy. It was a persistent problem. It didn't go away in 1947. It rose. The PCI gained strength again and again and again and again. So forces were formed, secret armies were formed called Gladio, and they were most instrumental in Italy. And in Italy, the members of Gladio, the secret army, and by the way, anyone can Google this and they can find that this is an actual operation that went on for years and years and years, funded entirely by the United States through our State Department and the CIA, called Gladio. It was secret armies that were supposed to ward off any communist invasion or any communist threat throughout Western Europe. And in Italy, the members of Gladio, and once again, these people had arms. They had munitions provided by the CIA and by the State Department. They had to find a place to meet. And the perfect place they discovered to meet were the Masonic lodges, because they were sequestered. An ordinary person like you or I couldn't walk in there. The meetings were sheltered from scrutiny. There were no minutes being taken or anything like that. So one Masonic lodge in particular, called Propaganda Due, the propaganda, or P2 in Italy, became the hub of Gladio. And at this Masonic lodge, strategies were formed. Including the strategy of tension that took place in Italy from 1969 to 1982. These were a series of bombings, Ted. Like it first began at Piazza Fontana in 1970. Bombs went off and hundreds of people were killed. And the bombing was blamed on the Red Brigades, on the communists. And of course, the Italian people, of course, shuddered, and they withdrew support from the Communist Party, and it served the Christian Democrats. Well, throughout the 1970s in Italy, bombing after bombing after bombing after bombing occurred, all conducted by Gladio, all blamed on the communist, and it was a false flag attack, of course. You know, the communists had really nothing to do with it, despite the fact that they were all rounded up, they were all thrown in the Huskow, and they were all blamed. It was really us, including the Bologna bombing. You're talking about thousands, thousands, thousands of people being killed. But once again, the meetings were being held in a Masonic lodge. The strategy of tension that we're talking about, the so-called years of lead, were all being planned within these lodges. So
wow! We're almost out of time. Man, I wish I'd have brought you on for an hour, Paul. One more thing I want you to cover for me, because we're almost to the top of the hour. the current Pope that we have when he was in Argentina. Wow. Tell the folks what he did to the people of Argentina and why they hate him in Buenos Aires.
I have to ask you a question first, Ted. Ted, did I meet you at Rodney's? Pastor Rodney's?
Yes, I was in one of your meetings. That's right.
Hallelujah. That's great. Great, great guy. Great, great friend of mine. Regarding Francis, Pope Francis, and once again, I was born and raised, confirmed, married in the Catholic Church, despite the fact that my name is Williams and people think I'm a Welsh Baptist. I'm not. But what happened with Francis was, his real name was Jorge Maria Bergoglio. He was a provincial general of the Society of Jesus in Buenos Aires. The Society of Jesus are the Jesuits. What happened was in the 1970s, 1978, a military junta under General Videla came to power in Buenos Aires, in Argentina. They took over the country. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to do away with all dissidents, everyone that opposed them, everyone that opposed, that would give them any type of trouble at all. So the opposition, the forces of opposition were rounded up and they were killed by the junta. Hundreds of thousands disappeared. Well, the supporter of the junta in Buenos Aires at that time, one of the principal supporters, was Bergoglio, now Pope Francis. What he did was he turned over members of Jesuit congregations. There were Jesuit congregations under his control in Buenos Aires. He almost acted as their bishop, the Episcopal head there, but he was a provincial general. He turned over members of congregations to the junta. These people who opposed the junta were once again handed over by Bergoglio. They were placed in planes, young kids, children, parents, grandparents. They were flown over the ocean and they were dumped off. And of course, they disappeared. They were, you know, they drowned. They were never heard of again. And he even turned over members of his own order, the priest who had opposed the junta. Bergoglio in Buenos Aires was charged, the only pope ever to be charged with crimes against humanity. And now when people see him on TV, they think, oh, this is a wonderful guy. He's such a humanitarian. He's like Francis of Assisi. No, this is complete rubbish. This guy was bad news. He's been charged with crimes against humanity. He turned over people to be tortured and killed. He is not the person that people see and admire on the mainstream media.
No, he's not. And so that's why I always do the best I can when I have guests like you on to try to give a balanced approach as to what was going on, because so many people don't understand who this Pope really is and how rotten to the core the Catholic Church has come as far as their leadership. Now, I'm not talking about Catholics in general, like you and a lot of my friends who are Catholics. Some of the most God-fearing people that I've ever met are Catholics. But they've got to understand what's going on with the Pope, what's going on with the pedophilia, what's going on with him giving passes to the pedophiles. I mean, it's a big mess. Tell us about that.
Oh, look, it is such a big mess that this is according to Pew Research Group. This is not me. This is the Pew Research Group, which is probably the most liberal organization in the country. They have discovered that 1 out of 10 priests in the United States is a pedophile.
That's right.
One out of ten, Ted.
I know.
Think about that. Now, you labeled me. When I found out about the Catholic Church, and when I found out about Bergoglio, when I found out about Gladio, I'm no longer a practicing Catholic. I mean, I can't have anything to do with it. But yeah, 1 out of 10 priests. And the fact is that in the seminaries right now, and this is really underreported, that this is a Pew Research Group again right now, 60% of the seminarians are practicing homosexuals.
60%. I'd heard 50%. 60%. Wow.
60% are practicing, not latent homosexuals that go out to gay clubs at night, that have partners, multiple partners, that engage in all types of activities. They're in seminary. 60%. Now, who can countenance that or possibly approve of that? And coupled with that, you have the pedophilia, and you have the financial corruption. You know, once again, you know, it was too much for me to stomach.
Paul, how can people support you? What are your books again? What's your website?
I think the more important thing right now, and yeah, I think you would agree, it's to support people like Rodney Howard Brown, like you, like people that provide a Christian message. By supporting you, you're supporting me.
Oh, thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. But anything else? We're coming to the top of the hour, and we're about to go to commercial break. Anything else you want to say in closing?
No, not a thing yet, Ted. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. I hope to see you in Tampa.
I'll be there. Let me know when you're going to be there.
I'm going to be there next week.
I'll be there. I'll be gone for a few days next week. I'll call you and we'll see if we can coordinate it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Guys, Paul, thank you so much for being my guest tonight. Wow, what a fast half hour. Incredible.
great to be with you, Ted. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Right, bye-bye.
Everybody, I want you to know something. Paul Williams is one of the most brilliant people I've ever spoken to. I attended his lecture over at Rodney Howard Brown's church over in Tampa. I was riveted, and I'm saying riveted, to him for half a day sitting there. It was one of the best lectures I've ever gone to. The information that I got from him tonight was just a tiny, tiny bit of what I learned from him at the conference that I attended where he was speaking. He's a PhD, absolutely brilliant man, very humble, and guys, support him. Get his book, Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the Vatican, the CIA, and the Mafia. He's also written another book, he said, just on the Catholic Church itself. So we need to support one another. And guys, thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. It's because of shows like this and my show that I do on Global Start Every Day from 3 to 4 that we're able to do what we do as far as getting this type of information out and having this quality of guests on the show tonight with Hagman and Hagman. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, guys. Dane Whittington coming up next. Breaking story on the fires in California, what's causing those fires, and what we can do to help. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. God.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to its creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Show, the worldwide broadcast. Thank you so much. This is your guest host tonight, Ted Brewer, and we're having probably one of the best shows that I've ever had the privilege to be part of tonight. We had Chuck Ball, one of the first half hour. Then we had dark journalist Daniel List. Then we had Sheila Zelinsky. Then we had Paul Williams, who really went into detail on Operation Gladio, and I know your heads are still spinning from that. And now we have a friend of mine, Dane Wigington, that I've known for years. I first interviewed him on the Power Hour back with Joyce Riley, I guess it's been three and a half years ago now, and he's been absolutely integral and he's been critical as far as making people aware of what's going on with chemtrails, geoengineering, and he doesn't like the term chemtrails, but a lot of guys know it by that. It's the correct term, geoengineering, and what's happening to the stratosphere with all of the aluminum, the barium, the strontium they're pouring into it. And so before we get started, Dane, and welcome back to the show, I want you to give the information to everybody how they can help you, how they can get information from you, and your website material, please.
Thank you, Ted, and thanks for your continued help with this most critical cause. Our website is geoengineeringwatch.org. It's all data, no advertising, no politics. And as far as how people can help, we have to have a critical mass of awareness on this issue, and reaching that critical mass will take all of us, and sharing credible data from a credible source with people is exponentially more effective than trying to verbally convey this complex issue. And we've made materials available on the home page of the site for our approximate cost of printing in mass quantity and distributing. We're only trying to get these materials out. That's our only goal. So there's credible materials there, and if people help us to share that, get others to do so, get this issue to the light of day so we can expose it and stop it.
I've gotten a bunch of the material from Dane. I give it out to everybody, and he's absolutely right. When you have a color brochure that talks about geoengineering and the documented facts and websites and links, and you say, hey, this is why it's so hot. This is what they're doing. This is what these white lines are in the sky. When you read this, they go, yeah, I'll read that. And so what it does, it makes it really easy to explain a very complicated subject in a very simple fashion. So tell me what's going on with the fires. Tell me about how hot aluminum burns. Tell me why we're having these incredible forest fires, how the wine area over there in Napa Valley's pretty much been destroyed. All these homes have been destroyed. People have been killed. Tell me why these fires are burning so hot, and tell me how this is linked to what's happening with the geoengineering.
The bottom line is, on climate engineering, whatever any individual wants to speculate as to the motives behind these programs, what is not speculation or conjecture or hypothesis is the fact that climate engineering solar radiation management programs have absolutely set the stage for the cataclysmic firestorms that are happening in the West. There is absolutely no question about this. We have satellite imagery to prove conclusively that using ionosphere heaters to heat the atmosphere, create high-pressure domes, and effectively block any inflow of moisture from the Pacific into California for as long as they want. And these are proven, patented processes. Again, whatever anyone wants to speculate as to the motives, the many agendas likely for these programs that are going on, and we know some of the agendas, but what is not speculation, Ted, is the fact that climate engineering, by drying out the atmosphere, disrupting the hydrological cycle, raining down incendiary dust on everything, destroying the ozone layer, which is frying the trees, the toxic particles are killing the trees from the ground up. It set the stage, again, for cataclysmic firestorms that have happened. Perhaps there's arson involved here in the case of the California fires as well. But as far as the volatility, the explosive combustion that we see, that in every possible manner leads back to climate engineering. And if people want to look this up, again, with our site, if they look up Geoengineering Watch California drought, or Geoengineering Watch shredded ozone or destroyed ozone layer, or Geoengineering Watch and whatever subject you're looking up, they'll likely find an article to cover and answer that question. We're only trying to provide data to people so they can help sound the alarm.
You know, it's interesting. Apollo 1 was initially designated as AS-204, was the first manned mission of the United States Apollo program, which had its ultimate goal in a manned lunar landing. The low Earth orbital test of the Apollo Command Service Medal never made its target launch of February the 21st, 67, because a cabin fire during the launch rehearsal test on January the 20th at Cape Kennedy killed all three of the command members, Grissom, it also was White, and Chaffee, and it destroyed the command module. Now, the reason this happened is, number one, they had pure oxygen in the command module, and there was aluminum everywhere inside of there for weight. And aluminum, when it's in pure oxygen or even when it's got a lot of air to it, it will burn extremely hot. And this is why this temperature basically melted the inside of this capsule, killing these guys. And, of course, we had no escape for the hatch because it opened to the inside, and it was pressurized, so they couldn't open it to get out. So they changed that out from the future part of the Apollo program. But explain to the folks, Dane, what aluminum does, why it's so combustible, and what temperatures it burns at, and why they can't put these fires out.
Well, again, it's a combination of all the factors. In the case of the fires that just happened in California, you had what amounts to a blowtorch effect. You had winds blowing 60, 70 miles an hour. You had an incendiary dust and everything. You have the lowest fuel moistures ever recorded here in California. So people think the drought's over here. That's an absolute lie, because these particles, including aluminum, are desiccant materials. So when you saturate the atmosphere with these day in, day out, 24/7, it absorbs and accretes all available atmospheric moisture. So atmospheric relative humidity goes through the basement. There's none. There's no dew. It sucks the moisture out of all the foliage. Record low fuel moisture. So imagine that, Ted, when we're told right now by official agencies like NOAA that there is no drought in Northern California, yet we have the lowest fuel moistures ever. How exactly does that equate? And one other point of interest, Ted, that I'm not sure you and I have ever discussed or not, but for those who doubt that these programs are going on, consider this. Our legal team, the Legal Alliance to Stop Climate Engineering, to Stop Geoengineering, excuse me, LASG, did a survey, 1,500 climate scientists. And back to the science terms, by the way, 77 of those 1,500 scientists that we surveyed about climate engineering, 77 said on the record in another survey that chemtrails weren't real. When we surveyed the same 77 and 1,423 more and asked them if they would state on the record that climate engineering isn't happening, not one of 1,500 scientists was willing to deny climate engineering on the record, including the 77 that denied, quote, chemtrails. So that's why we use the science terms, because when we use those, they can't deny the issue. So again, that's something that people should consider. If it's not going on, why would not a single one of 1,500 climate scientists deny it on the record? Not one.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. Now, I've read that, you know, this is being funded through the CIA. Do you have any idea who really is funding this and why they're allowed to do these experiments on the American population?
Central bankers. All roads lead back to the central bankers funding everything. And as far as why they're going on, we have to look at the bigger picture, because there are so many agendas being carried out at once. So from 1945, when these programs were first deployed initially over the polar regions, we've had governments that knew there were problems going on with the overall state of the climate and human activity and so forth. So instead of trying to actually deal with those problems, like the pharmaceutical approach for the human body, they try to cover it up. And this is very important, another agenda, using weather as a weapon. And when people say, Ted, you've heard this, Ted, I think, I'm sure for many people, why would they do this? You've heard that, correct?
Yes, I have.
So I would respond to that question by saying, why wouldn't they do this? Why wouldn't a completely out-of-control power structure want to control the weather where they can, again, win wars against other countries, topple those countries, bring them to their knees without the populations of those countries ever even knowing they went to war? And as they're intervening with the climate system, they're doing more and more damage. The more damage they do, the more they ramp these programs up to try to hide the damage these programs did in the first place. So we have all of those aspects. We have a eugenics aspect that certainly there's no question for anybody who rationally examines the data that the fact that the population is getting dumber by the day, and they are, all of us are, our IQs are going down. That's a statistical fact. I mean, they're going down precipitously because we're absorbing elements, neurotoxins that affect our neurological system. We can't not have this effect. So all of these things make a population easier to control. They use weather as a weapon. They try to hide the damage to the climate that's already done by doing more damage at the same time. It's just a very downward spiral, Ted, of doubling down on the same insanity, and we're headed for a very, very dark place very soon if we continue.
Is the primary goal here eugenics? Is that what they're trying to do, or are they trying to install a worldwide government? What in the world is going on, Dane?
Well, yeah, again, we have to look at the bigger picture, although I would argue it's impossible to deny the eugenics aspect. You can't. When you know that they know how harmful this material is and they're using it, it's impossible to deny that. But again, you have the weather weapon aspect, and you have the attempt, as I stated, they began to geoengineer over the polar regions first. That's an attempt to mask the severity of what's happening there. And why? Why is that so important? Because you have massive methane deposits, especially in the Arctic. And to put that into mathematical context, in the Laptev Sea alone, there's perhaps 10,000 gigatons of methane, it's estimated, on the Laptev Sea seafloor. And if 0.5% of that releases, that's 50 gigatons, that's a 400% increase on the total greenhouse gas effect right now. So what that methane does, Ted, it covers the planet like a layer of glass. Methane's 120 times more potent than CO2 over a 10-year time horizon. So they're trying to slow the ice melt in the polar regions, but they're having the opposite effect. And Ted, as you know this, you're a health expert. What happens when you intervene with the body's natural systems?
The other systems go haywire.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly the point, and that's exactly what's happening with geoengineering. And the more haywire those systems goes, the more they go, what does the medical pharmaceutical industrial complex do? They just keep giving you more medications, right?
That's correct.
And that's climate engineering. So what they're doing, let's give one example of this. So by trying to cover the sky with light scattering particles to block some of the sun's incoming thermal energy, they're destroying the ozone layer, disrupting the hydrological cycle, contaminating the entire surface of the planet. And what are they doing now? Because they've destroyed the ozone layer with these programs, now they're doing they've engaged in two programs we know of, Project Lucy and Project Alamo. That's to microwave the atmosphere with opposing radio frequency transmissions, microwave transmissions, to try to degrade some of the methane release that their programs helped to trigger in the first place, doubling down, just like the pharmaceutical industrial complex.
Well, you know, it's also interesting, you know, this past week I just read an article on my show that a huge hole, basically the size of Maine, has opened up in Antarctica. Did you see the research on that, or did you see the news release on that?
Absolutely. And what do the quote experts say? The experts that can't even won't acknowledge, and there's a federal gag order, in fairness to the weathermen, the NOAA, National Weather Service weathermen, there's a federal gag order on them right now, so they can't speak out. But on the ice hole, the quote unquote experts claim to not have a clue what that's about. Let's go back to the methane I just spoke about
that's
on
right,
the seafloor,
right.
Blowing holes through the ice. We know that's happening in the Arctic. We think that may be a causal factor in Antarctica because there's methane deposits there that are just being discovered now, and that would be logical and plausible because the exact same scenario has happened in the Arctic. So much methane being expelled from the seafloor with such force, it blows a hole in the ice.
Okay, one more thing. They were also saying that there's a lot of energy fields that are coming from Antarctica now over the Atlantic Ocean and over the Pacific Ocean. What's going on with all that?
Well, certainly there's enough data to confirm that there's massive RF radio frequency microwave transmission facilities in Antarctica. These people are desperate, and they don't know how to turn back. They don't have the psychology to turn back. They only know how to keep going because they're not going to let go of their power. So we see these transmissions coming from Antarctica. You know, there's a lot of coming and going from Antarctica. And we look at Mr. Kerry, in fact, on election day, Mr. Kerry went to New Zealand, went to Antarctica, returned to New Zealand, all during the election interval day, two or three days before and after. And he left New Zealand hours before a devastating earthquake in New Zealand. Now, if we look at the microwave transmissions, it was very good timing on Mr. Kerry's part. What happens, Ted, when you put something in the microwave oven too long, it blows up, right?
That's right.
So when you concentrate these massively powerful, and we're talking about billions of watts, transmitting these signals, bouncing them off the reflective atmosphere that's been sprayed with the climate engineering aircraft and electrically conductive particulates, and you aim the signal back down into the strata in a seismically sensitive zone, and you keep that signal there long enough and heat that strata, and that's exactly what it does, you can trigger seismic activity. And this is not disputed in the scientific community. So when we have, for example, in the Fukushima quake, we have institutions like MIT. Ted, you know who MIT is, I know. So very well. So when we have institutions like that stating on the record that there was extremely anomalous atmospheric heating over the Japanese quake, for example, directly above the epicenter for days prior to the quake, starts to paint a pretty clear picture.
Well, why are they doing this, Dave? Why are they causing earthquakes? Are they trying to undo what they've done? Or are they just trying to damage human beings? Or are they trying to cut the population out? I mean, why are we having all these hurricanes? Why do we have the most potent hurricane season in over 100 years this year? I mean, why are they doing this? Because we know they can control these storms. Why are they doing all of these storms? Are they trying to cause damage? Are they trying to damage infrastructure? Are they trying to punish us? I mean, who are these nutbags, the bankers, you say, that are doing this? But what is their end game again? I mean, when you create all of this weather in the Gulf of Mexico with these massive storms like they went into Houston, does that suck all the moisture out of the air in California?
No, there would be more than enough moisture in the air if it was not for climate engineering, because atmospheric relative humidity, Ted, has gone down since 1945. That's impossible on a warming planet based on the laws of physics without climate engineering and the desiccant materials I spoke of, because that deflects the direct sunlight. That negatively affects evaporation. The same particulates affect convection. That also reduces evaporation. Affecting convection affects winds, lowers wind. Overall wind in the planet is diminishing. This is science fact. That negatively affects evaporation. So atmospheric relative humidity has gone down, and climate engineering is affecting that. So they're suppressing the cyclones. They're suppressing a lot of other forms of evaporation. We would have actually more air moisture in the air otherwise. Now, as far as the why question, again, very complex. Weather warfare, hiding the damage done to the planet, and also, and this is very important, this reflects where we're at now, today. Those in power know that the current paradigm, the current rate of resource consumption, cannot continue. It's done. We've depleted the low-hanging fruit, if you will, and now it's about to get very rough. The law of the jungle is about to prevail because there's not enough to go around. That's why we have the resource wars going on in the Middle East. And back to climate engineering on the resource wars, every one of those countries we've toppled and destabilized and are now taking their resources, just like we are in Afghanistan, as Trump discussed several days ago. I'm sorry to say, for those who had faith in Mr. Trump, but there's $1 trillion worth of minerals in Afghanistan, and just 2 days ago, there was announcements for more excessive bombing of Afghanistan to perhaps help facilitate the extraction of these resources. So this is a very disheartening scenario. But the bottom line is, those in power know that it's about to get rough because there's not enough to go around. We have about 3 dozen countries right now descending into chaos because there's not enough resources to support the paradigm that we've known. As you mire the population in difficulty, whether we're talking about Texas, Puerto Rico, now California, those people can't think about the bigger picture at all. They're simply focused on their next bite of food and their next drink of water. And I would argue we're going to see much, much more of this as the dominoes start to fall, as the power structure starts to splinter, and there are several factions of the power structure. I think that's becoming very clear because we have media attacking Trump and Trump doing other things that aren't right. And I want to state this for the record too, Obama, Clinton, all the rest, all of them a part of the power structure, no question. There's no benevolence in any of these individuals. But they will continue to fuel the same sorts of cataclysms we've had this year. Not that we wouldn't have them without climate engineering, but they're being fueled and manipulated now, and that will accelerate rapidly as biosphere collapse unfolds.
You know, you said something that's very articulate and very sharp, and I don't want the listeners to gloss over this because I know they understood it, but I want to say it one more time. John Rappaport was on my show a few months back. Actually, it was last year, I think it was, or a few months. I can't remember anymore. And he's a brilliant writer. And he said the most important thing they've done is they've created a victim status mentality in the United States. And that when people get addicted to drugs, they're a victim. When they have problems with leaky gut, they're a victim. When they have arthritic conditions, they're a victim. When they have cancer, they're a victim. When they have diabetes, they're a victim. When they have heart disease, they're a victim. And he says that what they do is they constantly give us more and more drugs and more, quote, cures for diseases, which create more of a victim status in the United States. Until now, we've got, 60-70% of the population taking prescription drugs for their diseases and their syndromes, and it's created a victim class. You said something very, very good, and I hadn't thought about this. When a person lives in Puerto Rico right now with 85% of the island still without power, they are a victim. They're not thinking about anything that's going on. They're just trying to eat and have electricity. When a person's in Houston and they go underwater, they become a victim. When a person's in Florida and all of these things happen, they become a victim. When a person's in California and they have wildfires everywhere, they become a victim. And whenever you can increase the amount of victims that you have in an area or in a country, what ends up happening is you take those people out of the general thought process, and they no longer think about what the country's involved with or what the country is doing. And we've had one disaster after another disaster after another disaster, including the earthquakes in Mexico, which I believe were induced by HAARP or some other type of ground technology. And we've had all of these things happening over and over and over, like a giant swarm of chaos has come into the planet in the last 6 months, and it's not stopping. It's getting worse and worse and worse, almost as if these bankers who control a lot of this technology are basically saying, hey, look, if you're not going to do what we tell you to do, you're going to get punished. Hey, Puerto Rico, you defaulted on $70 billion. Guess what? We're going to lay waste to your country. And now Trump comes out and says, basically, we can't keep FEMA there forever, and you guys are going to have to be on your own because we can't put this kind of money into your country. And here these guys are, over 80% of them still without power, and he makes a statement like that, which wasn't his best motive as far as best moment. I mean, he's supposed to be a Christian, claims to be a Christian, and he's saying things like this to the people that are needy and without power, without electricity, and a lot of them without food. So we've got a major problem going on now in the United States because of all these national disasters that we've had, and we've created a gigantic victim status when people stop thinking about what's going on in the alternative news. Wow, Dave, that's really a good point. I really like that. What else do you want to talk about tonight? I mean, you know the methane expulsion is happening, but what else do you want to talk about?
Let's follow up on what you just stated because we're on the same page completely. So chaos serves the power structure. Thus, the whole Middle East now. In chaos, is it not? It's in chaos. Every one of those Middle Eastern countries. Yes. And that allows occupation, resource extraction to be much easier for what is now the U.S. empire. There's really no arguing that. And I would argue whether Mr. Trump, Mr. Obama, Clinton, Bush, any of the rest, if any of them were a threat to the power structure, they would have already ended up like Kennedy. So in regard to chaos, let's look at the ISIS terrorist threat that we've been spoon-fed from the beginning, even though our country has helped to spawn, fuel, and fund ISIS.
Right.
Now we have ISIS that got free, safe passage out of Iraq into Syria, where they are allowed to continue their chaos. And that small army that had no source of resources except what they were being supplied from someone somewhere, like the Toyota trucks they have that came from the Pentagon. Any of your listeners can look that up. That's where those trucks came from. Why did ISIS end up with Pentagon trucks, Hummers, and everything else? And now that ISIS is being splintered apart because they couldn't obviously win a war against real countries with real air forces and real militaries. And now that splintering of ISIS allows the power structure to scatter those seeds everywhere so that there's lots more chaos everywhere as the planet begins to implode. And now they can create chaos at home and abroad, issues like Las Vegas, that whether it's a rogue lone wolf, quote, terrorist, that has many holes in that story as well. More and more and more of this is going to crop up to keep the population busy for exactly the reasons that you stated, and they'll have less and less ability to focus on the bigger picture, focus on the government criminality, let alone do anything about it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Dave, because I've told my listeners for years, the way this thing breaks out is this. In the United States, we have taken our right to vote and to put elected officials into the government that we can trust, and we've given our rights to these guys to basically rule over us, so to speak, or to hopefully make laws for us that are going to benefit each of us in their different districts and states. The problem is these guys have turned around and they've been compromised because they've been blackmailed. They've done things they shouldn't ought to do as far as with finances or with children or with prostitutes or with drugs, and they've been filmed doing it, a lot of them. So now they've been compromised, and they, because of the fact that, you know, we have this constant never ending, I'm in there for 30, 40 years kind of thing. They can be controlled by the deep state, which is primarily the CIA and the Mossad and a lot of other things that we talk about on a regular basis. Now, what's also interesting about this is they've turned around, this group of people in the government, and they've turned over their authority to the military-industrial complex or the military. They've turned it over to the CIA. The CIA has turned it over to the Sabbatean Kabbalists. You referred to them earlier as the international bankers. These are the sorcerers and the wizards and the weirdos and the pedophiles and the drinkers of children's blood and all the other sick stuff these guys are involved in. And these guys are trying to hook us up to a D-Wave computer, and they're going to do it by energizing the atmosphere and making us breathe all of their smart dust and all of their poisons they're putting into the systems that we have around the country. And now they're trying to blame shift because they screwed the doggone planet up so much with these methane releases that they don't want to talk about that, and they don't want to turn back and deionize the atmosphere and let this thing clean itself, because Mother Earth will cleanse itself. But the problem is you can't keep poisoning the planet like this and have any chance of the planet turning back around. It'll reach a point of no return. So now these guys are covering up the fact that they've done that, and they don't want to admit to the fact that they've done this. Now, you're exactly right. They're creating more and more and more chaos to take the spotlight off of them and what they're involved in, so we don't think about, hey, they're really spraying us and forcing us to breathe nanoparticles, and we're inhaling it up through our olfaction system, going directly into the brain, including the aluminum, which, as you said, drops IQ scores. What do you think?
To capitalize on everything you just stated, which I fully agree with, and that's the bottom line. The ship is going down by the day, and we have to prioritize. We have to prioritize on the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat, or we have no chance, again, to follow through on what you just stated and agree with you fully, that if the planet is not allowed to respond on its own without the straitjacket of climate engineering destroying every fraction of Earth's life support processes. If we don't allow the planet to respond, we have no chance. None. That's a mathematical fact. So what do we do at this point when we have so many converging cataclysms? We have to prioritize. And in addition to destroying Earth's life support systems, every breath we take is toxic. We are dying. We're literally being slow killed. And they can speed that up, as you and I discussed off the air. Anytime they change that mix, they can level the playing field anytime they want. So I would argue this, and this is why GeoengineeringWatch.org is so focused on stopping the atmospheric spraying atrocities in our skies. We have to focus on that. That's the single greatest threat we face today, mathematically, short of nuclear cataclysm. How do we stop it? We have to reach a critical mass of awareness, and each of us must play a part in that. And we're right back to, again, prioritizing, sharing credible data, because credible data brings legitimacy to the issue. It's legitimate then when people can see hard facts and photos. So if for everybody who feels helpless in this dark corner we find ourselves in, you're not helpless. Stand up, get on the playing field, arm yourself with credible data, help us reach a critical mass of awareness. And when we do, as we do, people start reaching out to us, like the conversation I told you off the air that I had today with a former member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. That's how we get this issue to light.
Dane, thank you. We're going to break. Wow, should have kept you a little bit longer. God bless you, buddy. Thanks so much. I'll have you back on my own show soon. Stay tuned. We're going to do a summary of the show tonight. And as soon as we get back from the break, again, Dane, excellent job. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changeswoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast of the Hagman and Hagman Show. This is Ted Brower, your guest host for this evening, why Doug is having his daughter get married. Guys, I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you tonight. I want to thank you for allowing me to have these incredible guests on this show. My thanks to John, the producer for Hagman and Hagman, to Todd, to Doug and Joe, and everybody for the show we've had tonight. And they've been kind enough to let me know that I talked to them. They're going to let me post on my archives, and on my show. If you go to my shows, on my show on iTunes, if you go to healthmasters.com, this show will be posted on my iTunes links also. I want to be able to do that because of the content that we covered tonight. Let's talk a little bit about the guests individually and who they are and what they mean to me as an individual. And then I'm going to go ahead and cover some stuff, health stuff with you guys tonight and some other things and give you kind of a summary. Also, I want to talk a little bit about Steve Pachenik. Steve Pachenik really came out and hammered Trump this week about the shootings in Vegas. I'm not going to even repeat what he said. You guys can look at that yourself if you'd like. Also, I had Robert David Steele on my show yesterday, and he discussed that in detail. And also, Dave Hodges was on my show today, if you want to hear that. I'm not going to rehash all that information because that's already been posted on my iTunes, so you guys can hear all of those shows. But the thing I've got to share with everybody who's listening right now is we've got to pray for Donald Trump. And I really want him to have a Saul of Damascus, Road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul, epiphany. We need to have that. I think Donald Trump is in the middle of a mess. I think he was the accidental president. I mean, the polls never showed that he was going to win. It was because of the Hagman Show and the alternative media and my show and us praying all the time and exposing all of the stuff that Hillary Clinton was involved in that he actually just won just overwhelmingly. And I think he's got in over his head because he's never been a politician. Now, I believe he can come out of this, but I believe he's going to have a little bit more clarity as far as what a Christian is and what the vision of Christ is. So let's pray, if you don't mind, with me real quickly. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Donald Trump tonight. I ask for Donald Trump to have a Road to Damascus experience. I mean, if Jesus has got to come and talk to him personally and knock him off his horse, so to speak, metaphorically, and, hit him with a bright light. Whatever needs to be done, Father, let him hear from the living God. Let him hear from Yahweh. Let him hear from Yeshua. And let him realize that he has a calling on his life and that we've called him to set him apart and that he can't compromise with the deep state and he has a higher person he has to answer to, Father. Let him realize that. Let the preachers who are allowed to pray for him continue to give that anointing to him and let him see that, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. I wanted to do that on the show tonight because I did it on my show today also because, guys, it's so important that all of us stay in unity because think through this for a second. Donald Trump is having all of these things happen to him. I mean, the left hates him now. The gays hate him now. The communists hate him now. The media hates him now. I mean, Hillary Clinton was embraced by all of those groups. I mean, they were her, she was their darling. And had she been involved in the White House right now, there'd been nothing slowing this juggernaut down. They would have already been doing everything they could via executive order like Obama did to take away more and more of our rights. And Trump's not doing that. So we've just got to believe God that he's going to get right and get some of these Goldman Sachs boys out of these positions and some of these guys that are sabotaging Kabbalists out of these positions and get rid of the Federal Reserve System as we know it, nationalize it, and put it under the Treasury where it belongs, and get rid of all of this debt they've accrued to us for absolutely no reason whatsoever but to defraud the United States of America. Plus, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, they have documented proof now of $21 trillion missing from the Pentagon and through HUD, and I want that money back. That's a huge amount of money that would literally wipe out our entire national debt, and the Rothschild banking cartel has that kind of money. They have that kind of money, and they can produce it, and we can get the entire national debt paid off and be out of debt in the United States and start issuing debt-free currency again. That's what needs to be done immediately. And until we get that monkey of the Federal Reserve Bank off our backs, this is never going to be any better as far as the overall standing of the United States. Also, we need to realize that Donald Trump, as far as the deep state, he's not in control of that, because if he was, these chemtrails would stop. If he was, all of this stuff that happened in Vegas wouldn't have happened. All of this stuff is being done around him, as far as I'm concerned, but not through him. So it's very important that we understand that he has to take authority of the United States back. Chuck Baldwin did an excellent job tonight talking about the importance of the pulpit and why Christians and pastors have to stick together. You know, I'm going to say something. I read this little thing about the church, the guy who, the pastor who came and who didn't like Chuck Baldwin, and I read the just parts of my texting back and forth to you guys tonight. I don't have a problem with the prosperity gospel. I don't. I'm going to tell you that right now. Now, I'm not a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it guy. That's not me. But I believe that God wants you blessed enough to have a nice home, to have a nice car, to be able to buy healthy, good vitamins and supplements like we have at Health Masters. I believe that's God's will, that you can have your parents or your children go to college and you not have to pay for it. I believe that's God's will for everybody who's listening to me tonight. But I also know this. We can't have an anemic pulpit not talking about homosexuality or promiscuity or drug use or homosexuality or all the other things. We can't allow that to continue in the United States. We have to hold the preachers accountable for telling us the truth. Guys, it's so important to me that you go to a Bible-believing church, a church that's not filled with Masonic figures, a church that's not filled with pastors that are, how should I say this, where they're wearing heaven. They got lace on their panties, I'll say it a nice way. I don't like preachers that are girly men. I don't like those guys at all. I like macho preachers. I like preachers that tell the truth. And there are a lot of preachers now in the United States that are finally realizing they can tell the truth from the pulpit, and they can go ahead and start talking about the political aspects of what's going on in the United States. Because, guys, it's like Chuck Baldwin said tonight, if the preachers in 1775 and 1776 were not telling us the truth from the pulpit, there would have been no Revolutionary War. We'd still be subjects of England right now here in the United States. It never would have happened. And always remember, the War of 1812 was put on by the Rothschild banking cartel to subjugate the United States back to having a central bank. And they wanted to get the Bank of America back in under Biddle, and they got a 20-year charter that Andrew Jackson threw out. This international banking cartel that Dane Whittington called out tonight, and also that we talked about with several of the other guests, it has to be brought to heel. It can't be allowed to continue to print money hand over fist with the U.S. currency and allow us to get deeper and deeper into debt. This national aid that we give to all of these other countries around the world, whether they deserve it or not, and many of them hate us, and I've traveled all over the world, a lot of countries really dislike Americans now, because remember, they associate you with the United States government. You know, we funded ISIS. We created ISIS. We gave them their Toyota trucks. And when Russia finally came in and started bombing the holy living blankety blank out of them in Syria, they got defeated. Now they've gone back to Afghanistan. We've had to put more troops in Afghanistan. Why? Because these guys are wanting to burn poppy fields because they're wanting to work with the Taliban now in Afghanistan. That's why our troop strength has gone up. It's like Paul Williams said tonight. We have literally billions, trillions now, $1.3 trillion worth of opium being spread throughout the world, a trillion coming into the United States, the third largest commodity between oil, natural gas, and then heroin into the U.S. We have huge percentages of populations in some area hooked on heroin. Why? To fund the CIA black ops and to create the victim mentality in all of these heroin addicts. Heroin addicts get so desperate for their next fix, they'll break into a house. They'll do anything they have to in many cases, not in all cases, in order to get that fix. That's what the victim mentality does. If you can get a nation subdued by drugs, by pharmakia, it talks about in the book of Revelation. We've got people that are taking statin drugs, which have turned their brains to mush, and they've dumbed them down. We've got people still, it blows my mind. We have people right now listening to this show who have heard me talk about fluoride dozens and dozens of times, and you're still using fluoride toothpaste, and you're ingesting this stuff directly through your sublingual glands, and you're dropping your IQ scores from the fluoride toothpaste. You're using fluoride mouthwash. You're allowing the dentists to use fluoride rinse in your mouth when they clean your teeth. Guys, don't do that. You've got to get off of this product that was developed in concentration camps to make the inmates infertile and servile. You have to get off the fluoride. Remember Stanley Kubrick in his one movie that he did was such a masterpiece with Slim Pickens. You know, and he basically, what was the name of that movie? I don't remember, but it's back in the 60s. But you remember it, it'll come to me in just a second. I remember I'm not using any notes. But he actually said the reason they were fighting this war in the communist war, and they were bombing Russia with these nukes, was because they were putting fluoride in the water supply. So it's so important that you guys understand that you've got to get off the fluoride. That's critical. So also, with people like Chuck Baldwin, continue to support him. He did a big thing when he dumped his 501(c) corporation there in Pensacola, and he moved to Montana. I mean, to me, the man's a patriot, and he's somebody that everybody should want to emulate as far as realizing they can tell the truth from the pulpit. Then let's talk about David Litz. David, dark journalist, he's got one of the best websites and some alternative health stuff, not alternative health stuff, but alternative news stuff about what's going on with the space fence, the breakaway civilizations. And the article thing that he did a couple of weeks ago, that 13-minute thing that he did, was absolutely amazing on how he summarized what was going on with the deep state and the breakaway civilizations and what's going on with the space program since 1947. You need to watch that. Sheila Zelinsky, she's got a nonprofit ministry up in Canada. You can contribute to her from her own website. And understand, guys, that she's at the tip of the spear. She's being ridiculed now by several organizations. And, guys, it's what's going to happen to all of us. I mean, I told you earlier in the show that YouTube came in and closed my they knocked out. I had hundreds of videos on YouTube. They were all my show that were being produced every day and downloaded to YouTube. They took them all down, except for like five of them. I mean, they just eliminated them. I guess they didn't like the content. And so I just shut the whole thing down. And so when you support organizations like healthmasters.com and you get your multiple vitamins from us and do all the things that you do, it's such a blessing to us. And I want to thank you again for doing that, because it allows me to do shows like this with Doug and Joe when they're busy or they're gone or they have to do something different for the evening, like with a personal family thing like this. And so it gives us all the opportunity to work together. Dave Hodge is the same way. Dave and I did a great show today. You guys will love it if you listen to that show on my iTunes account. You can listen to it because the YouTube's gone. You can listen on the iTunes now, or you can call our direct phone number and hear it for the whole weekend if you'd like. That's available at healthmasters.com on our website. There's actually a 24-hour listen line that you can hear the show that I did with Dave Hodges all weekend. So support Dave and support his show, support Sheila, and also Paul Williams, probably one of the smartest men I've ever spoken to. Dr. Williams has a PhD. He's a prolific writer. He is incredible with what he's capable of doing and the knowledge that he has, especially about Operation Gladio and the Roman Catholic Church, having been a former Catholic. You know, buy his books. Get the book Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. Get all of his books. He's that good. And then Dane Whittington. Dane's been on my show multiple times. I first interviewed him on the Power Hour, I guess it was 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And I can say to you, this is just, honestly, this was the best interview that I've heard Dane Whittington do, because he actually got into the geopolitical connections between chemtrails and why they're doing it. And he really made a lot of sense as far as the victim mentality that they're trying to do with these storms all over the United States, because people don't talk about what's happening if they're worried about what's going on with the NFL, or they're worried about an earthquake, or they're worried about a tornado, or they're worried about another hurricane, or another hurricane, or another hurricane, or another hurricane, or what's happening in Puerto Rico. It takes the mind off the alternative media, and it puts people into a survival mode. So all of the interviews tonight deserve a second listen. So go to the iTunes profile. If you're going to listen to it on Blog Talk, do that. If you want to listen to it on Hagman's website, do that. Anything you can do to listen to these shows again, because these are that important. And forward this to your friends so they can hear these interviews. That's very, very important. So let's go ahead and break off with this for a second. And I want to cover a few things about health and some other things that I haven't covered on the show that I wanted to do. More Americans right now are suffering from stress, anxiety, and depression, the study finds. And now what they've done is they've given us this serotonin model with the brain, which is a flawed study to start with, and they try to give us serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which helps to keep the serotonin inside of the neural cleft. And what ends up happening when you do that, you decrease the material that your brain needs to produce more serotonin, and you have like a psychotic break, and you can actually start doing crazy things like killing people and committing suicide. There's all kinds of natural things that you can do to eliminate problems associated with the mild to moderate forms of stress and also depression. Just the other day, after I had heard the several videos, I'm not going to mention them again, it kind of got me down a little bit. And I told my wife, I said, sweetie, I need some 5-HTP. You say, well, what's 5-HTP? Well, that's 5-hydroxyl-tryptophan. And what it does, you know, we have it available at the healthmasters.com website. And what it does, it helps the brain to produce serotonin. It gives you the raw materials that your brain needs to produce serotonin. And I took that. And about 2 hours later, I felt pretty good again. Because, guys, all of this stuff that we talk about tonight, you know, all of it, except for the praying that we do and the positive affirmations that we do and the positive scriptural affirmations that we do, you know, it's all kind of a downer if you let it get to your head. But you've got to realize something. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You know, he's the Redeemer. I mean, he sits at the right hand of God Almighty. I had a lady today. Oh, my gosh, she was like a godsend. I called her up today. She's from the office. Not from my office, but she was one of our customers, and she wanted me to talk to her. She had some questions to ask me about CERN. And she was absolutely exactly what the doctor ordered, so to speak, today. She built us up. She edified all the shows. She gave us so much encouragement. And she's right. I'm not interested in hearing what the world has to say. I'm interested in hearing what the guy who runs the universe, Yahweh, says, the guy who sits on the throne. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to hear what Yeshua has to say, who sits beside him on the throne, because these are the guys that we're going to answer to and we're going to be with for all eternity. And guys, we have to stay positive, for this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. It doesn't matter what they do and how they act. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'm not going to let them take and give us a negative energy thing. I'm not going to do that. See, and what we have to realize is this. The earth right now is our home. They're doing everything they can to turn it upside down, because that's the Sabbatean Kabbalist way. This is what they want to do. They want to turn everything upside down and make it bad to resurrect their serpent god from the pit. That's who these international bankers are, these wizards and warlocks that we talk about so many times. That's what they want to do. But we can't let them affect us like that, because again, listen to me, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the earth. Greater is he who is in me. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we have the resonance frequency of the Holy Spirit infused us and the blood of Christ continuing renewing us, when that happens to you and you're filled, you have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And that's how we have to maintain our attitude. Now, if you do get down a little bit because you need some more serotonin or you need some more, you know, omega-3 fat, we can always apply that. We can always do all of that. We can always have you take those supplements. It's so important to understand that we have to give our bodies the right nutrients it needs every single day in order to stay healthy. More Americans than ever before are stressed, depressed, and anxiety-ridden, and many are unable to get the help they need, a new study suggests. An estimated 8.3 million American adults, about 3.4% of the U.S. population, suffer serious psychological distress, an evaluation of the federal health data has included. Guys, it's much, much higher than this. I mean, we have people, millions and millions of people all over the United States that are taking tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin reuptake inhibitors. We have a lot of people that are taking statin drugs to lower cholesterol, which in most cases is still pretty healthy to start with, to get it around 100, which is complete nonsense because your body can't make testosterone. And guess what, guys? If you can't make testosterone, you can't keep your testosterone up, you start suffering with ED. That's very important you understand that. That's erectile dysfunction if you don't know what that means. Now, also what happens with this is you lose the aggressive stature that you have as an alpha male or as a human being or as a male. You end up becoming more, how should I say, passive. This is what they want. They want the statin drugs to make you passive. They don't want you to have high testosterone. They don't want you having sex and reproducing, so if they can make you have ED, they stop that. In addition to that, they give you the fluoride to do the exact same thing. All of these things are being given to us on an ongoing basis, along with the bisphenol A, which are female growth compounds in plastics and in a lot of different foods now, because the plastic leaches into these foods to make us more passive with higher levels of estrogen, which is antagonistic to testosterone. They don't want the Americans that stormed the beaches of Normandy. They don't want the Americans that fought the Civil War. They don't want the Americans that fought the War of 1812 or the Spanish Indian War. They don't want any of those, or the French Indian War. They don't want any of those types of Americans available, especially with the Second Amendment we have in the United States. They want to make everybody as girly as they possibly can. That's what transgenderism is all about. That's what's teaching these young boys to be girls in schools. That's all the reason they're doing this, because they want to demasculinate. They want to castrate. They want to get your testosterone out of your system. Don't let them do that. So watch your statin drugs. I think statin drugs are one of the biggest disasters that's ever been promulgated to the American population. It's more for these guys that run the banks who own the doggone drug companies to make more and more money. It's ironic to me, as they enslave you, as they dump your testosterone, as they turn you more and more and more feminine, they make money off of this. The same thing with the chemotherapy and the radiation and the surgery and the barbarism that we know now is the current cancer treatment protocols. Today on the show, we talked about with Dave about how they're targeting your DNA. It's really important that you don't go to places that want to determine what your ancestry is. It's really important that you don't let them take swabs off the inside of your cheeks. And you say, why? Well, here's why. They're doing a lot of testing now with biologicals. And what they're doing with the biologicals is there's certain segments of the population that they find unnecessary, so to speak. And they want to be able to target that DNA. When they have samples of your DNA, it helps them with their beta testing. In other words, if they want to get rid of white people, they can target a virus to go after white people. If they want to get rid of Hispanics, they can get rid of Hispanics. If they want to get rid of blacks, they can go after blacks. If they want to go after people that are Chinese or Indonesian, they can go after all of these different ethnic groups because your DNA is different. Now, there's something else, too, with this that we've got to share, and I was hoping that Daniel was going to talk about this with the Space Fence tonight, but we ran out of time. Everybody has a very specific frequency, a genetic frequency in which your cells vibrate at a very specific rate. And if they ingest it, if they put enough smart dust in you through the chemtrails, if they put enough nanocrystals in you broadcasting uplinks through your DNA, through your central nervous system, they can actually find out what your frequency is. When you give them a DNA sample, they have that same matching frequency. And if they wanted to, guys, this is going to sound really weird because Royal Rife did it. And it's important that you would do some research on him. He could take a cancer cell and hit it with its alternative sine wave. You know, if it's a 60 cycles, he'd drop the top to the bottom, the bottom to the top. And he could actually put that through that cancer cell, and he'd cause what's called cellular lysis. The cell would break open and die because it got hit with the opposite frequency of the cell. He knew exactly what to do and how to kill cancer cells without radiation or surgery. They could do the same thing to you from their space-based weapon systems. That's the technology they're heading towards right now. If they know your frequency, they know your DNA, if they want to get rid of you, they could do the same thing that Royal Rife did. They could put the right frequency to you, and they can drop you dead in 6 seconds, 10 seconds, 2 hours, 5 hours, 1 year. They can give you diseases. That technology is available right now, guys. And so it's important that you don't give your DNA samples away and let the government have huge, you know, data centers in which they tried to do it last week at a doggone football game and it collapsed. They couldn't get it done. There was too much blowback from it. They wanted like 50,000 fans to give their DNA and have their cheek swabbed. Is this nuts or what? This is what they're trying to do. And so we have to get this through our heads that we can't allow them to do this to us. You don't want to be a lab experiment. These guys that are running the planet, and Dane Whittington called it out, the international banking community, you know, with the Vatican, with the CIA, and all of the guys that are working together to organize crime, and the Luciferians and the Satanists, this group of people that are doing this, they don't have your best interests at heart. They don't care whether you stay alive or I stay alive. all they do is what their master does, to come rob, kill, steal, and destroy, because they're doing everything they can to resurrect them from the pit. Guys, it's so important that we understand this as Christians, and we realize that we don't need to allow them to do this, because remember, greater is he, I mentioned this earlier, greater is he who is within us than he was in the world. And that's why they ask you for your DNA sample, and you willingly give it to them, because we still have freedom of will. We don't have to say yes to any of this nonsense. And they're always telling us what they're going to do in their disaster movies, and they're broadcasting what they're going to do. Guys, you know, when you pray, you can support, you protect your own family. You plead the blood of Christ over you. You put a hedge of thorns around you. You station angels all around you, and you can control the energy, I guess you could say, around your family. That's why it's so important that you pray every single day for protection from the Almighty. Because if we do that together in the aggregate, we can do so much more than an individual praying by himself. A couple more articles here because we're almost out of time. It's magnesium is the key to healthy bones and not calcium. This is a really good article. We've got magnesium brain food available at our website. It helps to chelate the aluminum that you're breathing in through your olfaction back out of your brain. Super important. And also, it ties together with a lot of the different things that are happening with immunizations and the heavy metal toxicity that we're getting, especially in our kids. Here's an article that I just found so ridiculous, I couldn't help but bring it up. It says the Pope is now denouncing pornography and the corruption of kids' minds and bodies, with 60% of his priests who are openly gay going to gay clubs and 10% of them openly raping young children who are pedophiles. I can't believe the Pope would say this. Now you've learned about him and also what I've told you before about what happened in South America in Buenos Aires. And this is one other thing that I wanted to cover on the show. I did it with Doug and Joe a few weeks ago, and I didn't get a chance to do it. A doomsday preacher on a Wimbledon train causes passengers to flee. Now listen to what kind of marshmallows and snowflakes that we've turned into, particularly in England. Panic commuters force open doors and spill onto active tracks, electrical tracks, after man recites Bible verses. Hundreds of thousands of commuters experienced a major disruption during the rush hour 2 weeks ago after passengers evacuated themselves from a train in London and spilled onto its tracks because they feared a fellow passenger who was preaching was acting erratically. The incident took place at 8:30 a.m. just outside of Wimbledon Station on Southwestern Railway running from Shepperton to Waterloo forced the network rail to switch off power in the area, causing long delays because these are electric tracks they're running around. The guy, Ian O'Sullivan, 42 years old, was in the same carriage as the passenger, said a man began reading what appeared to be extracts from the Old Testament, and when the train stopped at a red light outside of the Southwest London rail station, people panicked, pried the doors open, and ran out onto active tracks. Guys, listen to me. I'm not saying that the guy who did all this and preached all of this was doing the right thing, but let me say one thing he was doing. He was doing something. I don't know what he was preaching, but if he was preaching from the Word of God, I'd like to have heard him, and I've been there amening him. But guys, we've turned into a snowflake generation, especially over in England, and all they care about is political correctness. That's not what God called us to. He called us to be set apart. He said, come ye out from among them, be ye separate. That's declareth the Lord. And that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to compromise and do the things that the world does. He wants us to preach the word of God, his word, and to preach it boldly. And if we do that, we can bring honor and glory to him to the best of our abilities. And as far as I'm concerned, he's going to take care of you all the days of your life. Because remember, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it takes away your responsibility of doing what's right in the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus said that not one thing was going to be taken away from the Word, not one jot, one tittle would be removed, and anyone who preached less for people to do less than that would be least of the kingdom of God. Now, that's what the Bible says. Remember, we still have the same God of the Old Testament, the same God of the New Testament. He still sits in the heavens. He still sits on his throne. And guys, we're here to bring honor and glory to him to the best of our abilities and to serve him as far as I'm concerned, because guys, he is God. And all of these whack bags that do all these crazy things and sacrifice children, I always ask the same question over and over again. If your God is so good, why does he require the sacrifice of children and all of these crazy things and rituals they're involved in? So guys, stay tuned to the Hagman Show. Thank you so much for supporting Hagman and Hagman. Thank you so much for supporting healthmasters.com. I want you to know it's been my pleasure and my honor tonight to be on this show for Doug and for Joe. And I just want you guys to know that if I can do anything for you, you can give us a call at our office. It's 1-800 626-1834 or healthmasters.com. And again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting us and supporting Doug and Joe. And God bless you guys. And I will talk to you guys again on Monday. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys and talking to you guys again on my show. And we're looking forward to Doug and Joe coming back and having a complete and totally safe trip. God bless, and we'll talk to you then. Thanks.